welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Comedian Dom Herrera is going to be on the show today. Also, we'll play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About. Dave's Jerk Report. Let's see. Guy Pearce.
Loaded for bear, too.
Actor Guy Pearce. I've thrown around the term loaded for bear more than once, and I realize when I look into people's eyes and they're spinning like pinwheels that a lot of folks have heard loaded for bear, perhaps, and they're not exactly sure what it means. Loaded for bear just means, you know, if you're going out hunting and you put a load in a gun to kill a deer, you put a bigger one for the bear.
Is that right?
Loaded for bear. Yeah, you got to take down a grizzly.
I have no idea what they mean, and yet you throw them around.
Tracy Metro is here. She's going to be doing the, thank you. She's going to be doing, not the traffic. She's going to be doing the news
I know,
for
you
us.
Think so with the name, right?
Does seem like it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Tracy gave me a good firm handshake, which means she's confident or nuts or both. But I get that firm handshake from a woman, I think, well, she's real confident or she's insane. Either way, good in the sack.
I like that part.
Yeah, what you don't want is the willowy handshake from anybody. That means nothing. That means I don't want to shake your hand. I will present you part of my arm. Do with it what you will for a few beats and then give it back to me. But the person that shakes your hand, that means they want to be in business or in bed or something. That means glad to meet you.
You know what? I think the other one's called the fish. I call that the fish, the weak handshake.
Yeah, I would love to enact some ordinance, some sort of protocol for handshake. And we've talked about this before. Some guys give you the handshake. There is a guy who I met a couple of times who works over at the Roosevelt Hotel. I think he runs the place, who gives you the sideways handshake. He's the guy who grabs your hand, tilts it 90 degrees, and then starts moving right to left. Like you're both cutting down a tree in the turn of the century. And you think, and then so you just sort of, you always have to take note of it. Like, hey, what's it? Whoa, what's going on with my hand here? It's a little sort of a judo move on your hand, and now we're going sideways. There's the limp-handed guy. There's a guy who grabs the very end of your fingers and smashes just your... He won't grab your hand. He won't lock in. There's a certain sort of thing where there's a sort of, like, sprocket and chain maneuver where his cog needs to go right into your chain loop. Some guys don't do that. They just grab the very end and shake the end, make you feel impotent, really, is what it is. They sort of crush your hand. There's the weak one. There's the sweaty one. Let's just work it out.
You know, that the one when they crush the fingers, they should call that the bone crusher, you know, because they squeeze so hard.
I wonder if it's a power move. I wonder if it's a sort of subtle, let me explain. Oh, we're talking about doing business together. Let me let you know right away who the boss is.
Let me let you know whose world you're living in.
Right.
I'm running the show.
Right.
By the way, if I could quickly go back, you made an interesting thing about Tracy. That she's either confident or crazy in her handshake.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things about her that say that. You know, it's a difficult
confident and crazy.
She's got that really those tight blonde curls that are natural.
That's
are
confident
only for
her, and right. Crazy.
Are you flirting with me?
Yes.
She's got the offbeat glasses. The frames are a little offbeat and stuff.
Yes.
She's small and sassy, kind of.
Yeah. She's your best friend or your worst nightmare, depending on what day it is. That's the way.
Maybe a little of both.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, I figure when things are going good with you, they're going real good.
Uh-huh.
And when they go south, whew.
Man, it's all the way. Like,
right into the mountain.
South Pole, right?
Yeah. That's what I get from you. I like to hover
maybe
around the middle somewhere.
On.
Am I right?
You are on the money.
Tracy, where do we know you from? Give us and by the way, let me just say that Tracy is... been very generous and filled in for us. I don't know if we've decided on a news girl just yet. Maybe we'll make the announcement in the next day or so. But until then, Tracy, who's not throwing her hat in the ring, she's just kind enough to come in and step in and fill a hole in our news dyke. Speaking of dykes, huh? Mary,
no, baby.
You like the fellas? Okay.
I mean, I like the girls. Don't get me
just
wrong.
Just the fact that you've been in the presence of Damashek and myself for a full 8 minutes, you're not come on to either one of us, suggests that you may have a sexual proclivity that leans toward brusque.
You can't be into dudes
persuasion.
If you're not all over one of the
lesbian.
Two of us.
Yes. So tell us your story
approach.
Quickly. I'm sorry. I keep jumping on you. Give us a little background on you.
Oh, let's see. Born in Washington,
D.C. Hold on, Brasca, she already said Metro is her real name.
It is. Metro is my real name.
Yeah.
That is exactly right. I know, you wouldn't think so, right?
Yeah.
But it's true.
No, I believe you. It's not that crazy.
I'm not, listen, Adam, I'm not going to do my resume here, but, you know, I will give you a couple of highlights.
Mm-hmm.
Just did a pilot for E.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't get picked up.
Mm.
Don't you hate that?
Mm.
Did a show over on HDNet. That was very cool. You guys know HDNet, Mark?
Sure.
Cubans.
Sure.
Very fun show called Deadline. It's like a spoofy kind of show, like Talk Soup with a little bit of The Daily Show, but the gig of the show is that it's all high-def footage. So they make funnies out of high-def footage.
That's where I know you from.
Yeah.
I knew I recognized her.
Did
yes,
you?
I recognized you from that show, sure.
Sweet.
I watch it fairly regularly.
Well,
yeah. Rob, I'm sorry.
And the reason I have to skedaddle out of here at the end of the show is because I'm hopping on a plane to go to Nashville because I am hawking an ab product on the Shop at Home Television Network.
Mm, you look to be in good shape.
Thank you for noticing.
But it's not your product.
Nah.
You'll be the spokesperson
Gun
for
hire. But actually, seriously, this product is so cool. It's so cool. It's called Slender Tone Gym Body.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those EMS machines, electromuscular stimulators. You know the things when you go to physical therapy?
Hear about those, yeah.
It you know, makes your abs crunch at will.
Well, the thing about those, you see them, well, they've been around for 30 years. They strap them on,
mm-hmm.
and they say, well, you can strap this machine on, throw the switch, and it's equivalent to doing 1,500 crunches. It sounds like, if it was true, it's the greatest thing mm-hmm. ever. It's turning, you know, water into fuel. I mean, the idea that you could sit around and watch TiVo and do the equivalent of 3,700 push-ups while you're eating nachos sounds unbelievable, but they do the science on them and they never work.
I'm telling you, this thing works.
Really?
I swear, if you turn it all the way up, you
mm-hmm.
feel my abs at the break.
I felt you when you squeezed my hand. You almost squeezed the toothpaste out of me.
But you're also doing ab workouts, though, on top of using this
maybe
thing,
just
well,
a little.
You know, it's good if you touch that.
Look at that. Can we
Rock
see
hard.
Them? Can we see your abs?
Oh, my God. Am I on the Howard Stern Show?
Yes. Wow.
Ooh, la, la.
Flat. Flat as a pancake.
Yeah.
That's good. And a nice body. And
Oh, I'm going to come here every day.
Yeah, you're attractive. And like
right.
I said, the honeymoon phase of the relationship with Tracy would be awesome. It's just when it got weird, it would turn at a certain point.
Now you've decided for sure that it's crazy instead of confident?
No, I swear I'm not free girl. I swear.
Yeah, I know you're crazy. I can see it in your eyes. I can see you're crazy.
Man, I'm crazy in a rabbit's ass.
I always know crazy. Yes, you have a giant ring on your finger.
Jewelry.
That's
more
part
of
it. No.
More about Tracy Metro. I make jewelry.
More grist for my crazy mill. Giant jewelry. Giant jewelry. Giant earrings. Giant rings. Giant belt buckles.
She's in her apartment with a blowtorch. That's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Making these gigantic things.
Wow. And now, do you have a man?
I do, baby. I'm married.
You're married.
I am married. You didn't think the name was real? My husband's name is Marty Metro.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's great.
I know. It's like a superhero name, right?
Well, it's more porn, but...
car dealer.
It's more car dealer. I'm going to step down to custom van and RV, actually, dealer. What is he doing? How long have you guys been married?
Oh, this is the Tracy Metro Show. I dig it.
Well, it is for about another...
30 seconds?
55, and then we'll not be hearing from you again.
Cool.
Go ahead.
Been married, it'll be 8 years in a couple of weeks.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
A long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we own, or he owns, an earth-friendly company called usedcardboardboxes.com.
Talk about life in the fast lane. Corrugated cardboard.
It's a waste of a name like Marty Metro.
Yeah.
Making boxes.
He's a good man, huh?
He's a very good man.
All right.
And I have a dog.
You what?
I have a dog.
You have a dog.
I note kids, but I have a dog that I treat like a child.
Sure. Compensation. And where'd you meet Marty?
We met when we were kids, actually.
Really?
We grew up in Washington, D.C., and we met there.
Hmm. You're getting saner as the day wears on.
I know.
But the jury's still out, and the day is young.
It is a darling story.
It is nice.
Hey, by the way, can we go back real quick to the ab thing you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever invented whatever this thing does that she's hawking, it's got to be an upgrade from that thing. That seemed, for all my childhood, you always saw it in TV and movies, the thing that shakes your fat at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
Who invented that and who bought into that was going to remove your fat?
Somebody.
The thing that just shakes your sides.
Somebody and everybody. I mean, somebody invented it and everyone used it. And then what it was is it was used for comic effect on just about every short film and every non-talkie there was, every silent film. It just became funny. And then the fatter the person whose ass was jiggling, the funnier it became. Laura?
Yes?
What's happening?
Nothing. I missed your whole show yesterday, but I heard you bring up the thing about the snoring pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was recently, I'm embarrassed to admit.
Snoring. Yeah, my wife's snoring. She's pregnant with twins.
Well, I've never snored before in my life, and I'm kind of a dainty person, and apparently, according to my husband, I snored like a truck driver.
Yes.
When I was pregnant just a few months ago, and I wake up one morning and go to rub my eyes, and I'm like, what is this? And he was putting the Breathe-Right strips on me while I was asleep.
Really?
Yes.
Well, really, he actually attempted to put something, something to your face while you were asleep?
No, he actually did it.
He did?
Yes.
Wow.
Followed by, I really couldn't take it anymore, honey.
Yeah. So did it work? Did the Breathe-Right strip work?
Yes, I proceeded to buy 2 to 3 more boxes of them until after I had the baby.
And they worked?
Yes.
Yeah, I got into it, thank you, with my wife last night about that. I told her, breathe right. I called her and told her, pick up those breathe right strips, and she didn't. And she came home, and then she suggested she sleep in the next room. And I said, that's a fantastic idea. And she said, really? You're going to make me sleep in the next room? And I said, well, I asked you to pick up the breathe right strips, and you didn't pick them up. Yeah, but now you want me to sleep in the next room? Well, you suggested sleeping in the next room. I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning. You're so... She sounds like a Samoan lineman. That's basically, that's what it's like. Sleeping next to some guy's first two letters in his name are T.S. something. That's what it's like. I mean, all night, she did nothing to remedy it. She wouldn't sleep in the next room and just snored. So that's basically how it works. Thank God the dog kicks me so much that I wasn't asleep anyway to hear her snoring. Tracy?
Yes?
Sorry, baby.
My dog sleeps in bed with me, too.
What kind?
Italian Greyhound.
No, what kind of bed? No, I'm kidding.
Tempur-Pedic.
Fantabulous.
By the way, Tracy, in trying to get on the show, she sent me a limerick.
I heard that, but we got to take a break.
All right.
All right. We'll be right back after this.
13-year-old Christian wanted to work on his stand-up skills. So Adam hooked him up with Jeffrey Ross, the king of the Catskills. Now he's busting his comedy hymen on stage May the 10th. He'll be working his teenage magic in front of an audience. Check out Christian, the comedian, May 10th at the Improv. Christian,
yep. Christian's on the phone, 13-year-old comedian. Before we get to him, Mark the Poet has a new poem for Dave's cousin. Not exactly a fan of Mark the Poet. Mark?
Yes, good morning, Adam.
How are you?
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Another beautiful day.
Great. Would you like to give a poem to Dave's cousin who doesn't like your work?
I would. It'd be an honor.
Thanks.
Here it goes. Dave's cousin wishes I was gay, like he's in the know. As Sir Mark the Poet gives another girl 7 orgasms in a row. Brendan, you're a dingleberry on a gerbil. Go and take a shower. Riper than a rotting yak scrotum, 93 hobo power.
Wow.
His brains are gas. He's on empty. He makes his own mother sick. And stop changing lipstick. I'm getting a rainbow around my phallus.
Harsh words. You have bad connection, so I'll put you on hold.
That was really good, except for the fact that Brandon's mother died tragically about 6 months ago.
Yeah, I was at a funeral. It was quite moving. Yeah.
Hope you feel good about yourself.
Yeah, hope it feels good. She's actually killed by performance artists. Not quite a poet, but in your group.
I'll say this. Mark the Poet has been challenged. Some people respond to positive feedback, others to negative, and apparently Mark the Poet is in the latter. He has been challenged, and he's raised his game. Now the next salvo belongs to Brandon.
That's right, your cousin. Did his mother really die?
No.
Oh, good. But it was funny you said that. Mark, that was solid work, called your cousin a dingleberry on the sack of a gerbil. Yeah, I like that.
I also like his name's Brandon, but he called him Brendan, too. That's a nice dig, too. Don't even know the guy's name.
Ben?
Yo.
What are you thinking?
I'm thinking the yin to your yang of what can you complain about is find the good in why don't we give you like terrible situations or natural disasters and find the good in that?
Find the good in things.
Yeah.
Interesting that would you, most people have difficulty finding the good in.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get,
all right. That's an interesting one.
It's not really your way, though, is it?
It's not my way. My way is to look for evil in good, not find good in evil. Although I do have a sort of sick Darwinistic streak that has a way of, you know, people being carried out to sea by floodwaters is sort of Darwin taking out the garbage. So I do, I am into sort of weeding and not really seeding the earth.
Well, let's. How about? Yeah, I hear you. Well, let's try. What about Hurricane Katrina?
Yeah, but see, I could get myself into trouble, but I will basically say this: as nasty as it sounds, I don't need people who can't figure out how to keep a flashlight in their house receding the planet. To me, once in a while, God's tide rolls in and sweeps out a little garbage that's on the beach. I don't have a big problem with it.
Survival of the fittest.
The whole reason we're in, yes, the whole reason there was a tragedy over there is because too many people who shouldn't have been having kids had kids. Here's how society used to work. You either fended for yourself or you died.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't fend for yourself, you died. Your horrible gene could not be passed on to 30 kids because you couldn't take care of yourself. Now we've created a society where we can keep you alive on life support, but we'll technically keep you alive just long enough to reseed, just long enough to crap out 8 kids, and then we'll just barely keep them alive, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a great, you know, big picture. Again, I'm not really much into God. I don't care what color you are. This is black. This is white. This is everything in the rainbow. You shouldn't be having kids if you can't support your kids. That was impossible in the past. Now we've made it possible.
And interesting.
It's not gonna be good in the big picture for this world. Not especially. Just look around. By the way,
it's very self-fulfilling.
Yes.
What's the word?
Self-fulfilling.
Well, it's a self-fulfilling, self-serving, and it's going to be trouble. We've decided to make it job one to keep everyone alive so that they could hump and have more kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have to keep their kids going. Meanwhile, there's not enough food, not enough jobs, and they're not, quite frankly, interested enough to get out from where they are. It's going to be trouble.
If that one's maybe a little bit too heavy to take on so early, although you did nicely.
Thank you.
About something like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays or Bronson Pinchot?
Okay. I don't like hockey that much in the first place. I don't look
at it
as art. That's
baseball. Devil Rays.
Oh, I'm sorry. Team. What's the hockey team?
The Lightning.
Oh, is that?
I can complain about them. But
what what is there in hockey? Just the Blue Devils?
No, the Lightning.
Yeah, I know. No, I'm saying what is the Devil
team? The New Jersey
Devils.
Oh, the New Jersey Devils. And then there's the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Ugh.
Maybe that's what you're confused about.
All right. I may have combined the two. Yes, I'm sorry. Baseball. Oh, look, again, 162 games. Who needs
it? You're saying positive stuff, though.
I'm saying positive stuff, yeah.
They're the worst team in the sport that you can get down on.
Yes. And you brought up, who'd you bring up?
Bronson Pinchot.
Right. From Bosom Buddies. Right. Bounty?
Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, Perfect Strangers. Now I'm thinking
Bartakamas.
I start thinking Bronson Arroyo, the pitcher. All right. What can I say positive about Balky?
Yeah.
I love Perfect Strangers. I love this cousin. I love when he would call him cousin. I loved when he would kiss him. As I used to sit home Friday nights as a lonely young man of age 20 and watch that from my crappy apartment in North Hollywood. In baseball, look, I say a lot of bad things about baseball, but there's no better day and no better buzz than the play hooky from work, drink the 16-ounce Bud in the stands, getting sunstroke, putting the beer down, eating the dogs. The thing that I hate about baseball is the thing that I love about baseball. It takes no work to watch. There's no challenge to it at all. You just sit there for 3 hours. The whole point about baseball is not that you're at a baseball game, it's that you're not at a place that makes you miserable.
Yeah, you're out in the sun, you have beers, the smell of grilled wieners,
yes,
pervades, you're with your chums.
If you would have just as good a time if you and your chums could discipline yourself enough to go sit on your front lawn and put down a 12-pack and eat hot dogs and pretzels. You'll never do it. You need the excuse.
Yeah.
You know what it is? Baseball is an excuse for fathers and sons to spend some time together. It's an excuse for chums to take their shirts off in the sun in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day. It's 3 o'clock. It's Tuesday. The boss thinks you're out peddling copier toner, but you're over at Wrigley with your shirt pulled up over your head, and you've had your 8th beer now. That's what it's excuse. The game itself, what's going on the field? Well, it's game 22 of the 162 season, and your team's down 9 runs in the 4th inning. Who cares?
You got to admit, it is a little boring to watch.
It is boring to watch. You know, it's weird, but it forces you to do stuff. And again, you wouldn't need the baseball if you and your chums could come up with an excuse just to go take your shirts off and sit in the park and drink beer for 3 hours, but you wouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. You'd go, hey, man, how about a week from this Tuesday, we head down to Bluffside Park, we take our shirts off, we drink a sixer of Mickey's.
And what, you'd be gay?
Like, yeah, you'd be like, I got to go to work, dude. But if I said, The Mets are coming into town, you'd be like, yeah, I think I could get the day off.
Yeah.
That's what it's
an excuse
for. Well,
good job. So you were positive about Pinchot, which most people couldn't be.
Yeah.
And baseball in the Tampa Bay Devil Rays.
Yeah.
Except that they play in a dome and you don't get to sit in the sun.
Oh, really? Mm. Yeah. And I thought it was hockey at first. Christian?
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
That's all right.
All right. Christian's our 13-year-old comedian. He does his shtick for us. We're running out of time. We're going to see you at the Improv. Next Wednesday, week from today.
That's right.
HollywoodImprov.com is where you go for tickets. I'll be there. Sheck will be there. Jeff Ross, David Alan Greer. It'll be a night to remember, and of course, Christian's going to perform. Go ahead, Christian.
All right. There are so many odd jobs in the world, and I'm surprised that people don't mind to work there. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be some kind of a messed up child to answer, what do you want to be when you grow up, with a mortician. Mm. You're scared to ask.
Mm-hmm.
It's your imagination, what would the answer be? Mm. Well, I've always had a fascination with roadkill and makeup. At what point in your life do you realize that you want to paint dead people? A lot of kids say they want to be doctors, but what kind of doctor does a lot? How weird would it be to have a little kid walk up to you and say he wanted to be a podiatrist?
Yeah, never hear that.
You know, you have to ask why. Well, I like feet and them. Cool. That's what I got. Thanks for listening.
Oh, yeah. He's got an ending now, by the way. Christian does.
I thought that was some of his best material yet.
Wow.
I couldn't hear it over the raucous laughter in the room. Christian.
Yeah.
Nice work. I like the angle of the mortician and, you know, putting makeup on dead people. Or
podiatry, another great one that I've been fascinated with myself. Well done.
Yeah. You're going to be in studio next week from today?
That's right.
That's right. Jeff Ross, also David Alan Greer, myself, all going to be at the Improv 1 week in the evening time. I guess it starts at like 8 o'clock. I don't know if we have that figured out. HollywoodImprov.com. Do we know what time the show starts?
I don't.
Well, let's just call it 8 for now. What the hell?
I'll tell you in a minute.
HollywoodImprov.com is where you go for tickets. Get them in advance. We will sell out. Christian will paper that joint. Yes.
And his teeth seem sharpened, ever sharper.
Well,
ready for the big show next
I just
week.
Hope he doesn't overtrain.
That's the only concern. At
yeah,
this
I don't
point.
Want him showing up dehydrated and effed out.
Yeah. Well, just to make sure everybody knows, the story is he's 13 years of age. He's cast aside conventional schooling. Mm-hmm. And has been taken under the wing of Jeffrey Ross and Adam Carolla.
Oh.
And is learning the ropes of comedy because this is what he wishes to be when he grows
right.
up. And he's getting better and better each week, calls in with his material, and now you see the almost finished product. We'll see the finished product a week from today.
He's been forced under the wing of Jeff Ross, who would prefer to sleep, actually. I've taken him under my wing and then shoved him under Jeff Ross's wing. It's not actually his wing. But I just don't want to say what it is.
He's you been know, forced. Adam, you're yes. a good guy, taking him under your wing.
Thank you. All right, Christian. We'll see you in a week.
All right.
Nice job.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. HollywoodImprov.com is where you get those tickets, and we'll see you there.
Great show. A lot of fun.
Take a quick break. Speaking of a great show, Pat O'Brien, host of The Insider. He's on the blower. We'll talk to him in a minute.
Here's what's not coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show. Which bridal gown is Angelina getting?
Amy Fisher's plastic surgery and a devastated Heather Locklear. Maury Povich, his wife Connie Chung, and the two women behind the sex scandal. Heather Locklear, the woman betrayed.
She went in to lose weight, but lost her limbs. The ultimate plastic surgery nightmare.
But still weight.
Plus, hooray for Rachel Ray.
And murder at a Hollywood wedding.
Plus, the women Charlie Sheen was seen out with just last night.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's so easy to make fun of those shows, but I can't stop watching them.
Nah.
I now watch about 20 hours of entertainment TV every evening. I watch this man, P.O.B., as I know him, Pat O'Brien.
Adam, my friend, I'm glad you're a loyal viewer.
I watch every single night. You could quiz me on last night's show.
Can't take your eyes off. How much does a 1,000-pound man weigh?
Well, let's see. I was eating, so I fast-forwarded a little bit when his mammoth penis slopped over the sofa and landed on the floor, and they cut it all out.
Yeah.
One of the most horrible things I've ever seen.
He's lost at least 700 pounds, has
Very
he not?
Very good.
Yes. Also, I can't stop watching the Joey Buttafuoco, Amy Fisher
Give
thing.
Me another quiz. Where did Amy go when she stormed out of the room?
Well, I saw her storm sort of offset in front of a whole bunch of very uncomfortable PAs and APs and grips who were just sitting on a staircase right next to the shoot. But then I don't know where she actually went. She composed herself and came back at some point. Where did she go?
Went into the kitchen.
Oh, okay. I know she didn't leave the premises. Joey has huevos the size of Nevada. Because he just keeps saying, you shot my wife, and she just keeps screaming, you effed a minor. And it's a little bit of a Mexican standoff they're having. Yeah.
They're trying to get some closure. I doubtful they will. Okay.
No, it doesn't seem like it. He wanted to
How
ring
been,
her
my
name.
My friend? You good?
I've been very good, Pat.
Very good.
Mazel tov to you and the insider.
Thanks. You're on a lot of buses and billboards, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Thank you. And I don't see you on anywhere but TV, but ultimately that's where you want to be.
That's where you want to be every night, you know, serving the interests of America.
Are these, Pat, shows, and I'm sure you have some numbers on this, are these shows bigger now than they were 5 years ago?
Well, the ratings aren't as big. In other words, like, the ratings are almost in half from 5, 10 years ago because there's so much more to watch right now.
Right.
But in context of where they are, yes. I mean, especially The Insider, I think we're the only show that's gone up from last year. I think we're the only show on TV that's gone up from last year.
They seem, it seems like I was watching last night and I was thinking, my God, there's so many elements involved with the show. It seems like such a tall order to do on a daily basis. And I know it sounds like I'm just kissing ass, and technically I am. But there's so many elements going on. There's so much producing going on. Is it a 10-hour day? Is it a 14-hour day? What is the schedule?
Yeah. Our production staff gets in around 4:30 in the morning, and they're there a good 12 hours. We have a lot of people working on these two shows. I get in around 7:30 or 8. And, you know, we tape a show that goes out at noon for some stations across the country that carry it earlier. And then we tape another one, and we keep updating until 4:30 in the afternoon. So it's a real job, as we like to say. And there's a lot to keep track of. And it's an interesting, you know, our producers, our executive producers are the best in the business. And it's interesting to see what they leave in and what they leave out. Because there's so, you know, you guys know, doing a morning show. I mean, between Richie and Denise and Heather and...
Yes.
You know, now there's a rumor that Anna Nicole Smith might be pregnant, and so that's that one down all day. And
wow.
Well, the best one, the best one is this Rosie O'Donnell to The View.
Rosie O'Donnell.
What do you think of that one? That's
well, I mean, that's volatile already, and there's already rumors now flying all across. I think the Daily News today had rumors that Star might leave now, and I don't know. Just keeping track of this stuff, and we have to get it right. You know, you don't necessarily have to get everything right.
No. I announced earlier in the show you died in 1979. Brusca IMDb'd you and said, that's not true. And I said, don't bother me with these details. I got a morning show to do.
That's the actor paddle, Brian.
That's right. Oh, there was, yeah.
Roll up his tombstone.
That's interesting. So Star Jones, so that's my theory anyway. From everyone who I know, I've talked to a few people who've worked at The View and know people at The View and stuff. Everybody says Star Jones is a horror. She's a terrible human being. I hypothesize the producers brought in Rosie to drive Star away. Yes?
I mean, I hope Star stays because there can't be more compelling television than watch her and Rosie go after each other every day.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting, it's interesting. It's like a sitcom episode where you pretend the house is haunted so your folks don't sell it. The new buyers aren't interested.
I had a very Adam Carolla morning, by the way.
What happened? You masturbated three times?
Well, not that.
Two and a half.
But thank you.
Yes.
I woke up and I worked out. Well, this part's not the Adam Carolla
part. No.
About 4:30.
Yeah.
Then I went down, and maybe you can help me, Adam. Mm-hmm. I went downstairs and my coffee pot was broken.
Mm-hmm. No.
Gotta have coffee in the morning.
Sure, you have to, yeah.
There's no coffee. And then I turn around and there's a raccoon sitting in my kitchen.
No way.
Wow. It's your... raccoon is inside the kitchen?
Inside the house.
Wow.
How'd it get in?
Adam, you know where I live up in the Los Feliz Hills, so you know where that is.
Right.
So there's animals up here. There's raccoons, skunks, and coyotes, and mountain lions. And all that.
Right.
But he had somehow gotten into the house. I have no idea.
Well, do you have a doggy door or a cat door?
I leave windows open at night sometimes. So
really?
That could have happened. I don't lock my doors because I'm from the Midwest and I trust people.
Right.
You know?
Everyone in Los Angeles is from the Midwest or from Mexico, but it still doesn't stop them from getting killed in their sleep, Pat.
Exactly.
Pat, you're a national treasure. First off, people should be guarding you while you sleep, because if anything happens to you, I'm not going to be able to live with myself. But don't sleep with your door open, would you?
Is it national treasure or icon? Which one are we
going
to go with?
I'm going with both. Whichever you like. So how'd you get rid of the raccoon?
I don't know. It might still be in here.
Oh, you really? You just left?
I have no coffee and a raccoon in my house.
No. You didn't just leave the raccoon sitting there. You had to do something, yes?
I chased it. Well, I lunged at it. Now, will the PETA people get on me for that, I guess?
Only if you had an erection. Then it's a crime. It's considered a hate crime. Sorry.
Well, Pat, these are the problems of normal people, right?
Shouldn't have called in. All right, Pat. Hey, am I going to see you on your Christmas party? Are you throwing a Christmas party this year?
We're going to have another Christmas party this year. Betsy and I will have a big one, and you of course, are always on my list. What's your favorite Christmas party? You were there when the Heather and Richie's were.
I was every year you go to Pat O'Brien's Christmas party, or you would see Heather and Richie Sambora sitting right there. I got to tell you, honestly, I had a nice long conversation with Bob Urich from Vegas. Yep. He just must have died 6 months after the conversation or after your party. Very sad, but a sweet guy whose career I always enjoyed and followed, watching him in SWAT and then in Vegas.
Dan Tanna.
Later on, Dan Tanna and all that. And had a nice buzz going, a nice red wine buzz going. I think it was the bottle me and Kimmel brought you. And I just sat out there, nursed my drink, and talked to Bob Urich and said, wow, it's great to be alive. And he tragically passed.
I think at that party you walked in shortly after Meatloaf arrived.
I walked in with Meatloaf, and I talked to him about the man boobs he donned in Fight Club. That's what I remember.
P.O.B., what do I have to do to get an invitation this year?
You're not coming, but Adam will.
Thank you. Thank you, Pat. Thanks for calling in, by the way, and good luck with that raccoon.
Congratulations on your show, Adam. I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Pat. Pat O'Brien, everybody, the insider. Again, it's heroin. For me, I'm a junkie. I know it's not good for me. It makes me feel warm.
I like it too. But now, why does the raccoon get to go to P.O.B.'s house and I don't?
It was there.
Just sneak in the window. Middle of the night.
Oh, that's right.
He doesn't leave the doors locked or anything.
Yeah, that's a thank you, Tracy. You know? I can gain entry through the window.
It's a wonderful thing to advertise on the radio. Gangbangers, hoods, rapists, thugs, come on down. Swing by P.O.B.'s place. All right, Bruska, should we talk to Larissa for a moment? Do we have time for that?
Yeah, quick update. She went on an interesting date last night.
Larissa is our foxy intern.
Thank you.
Who went out with Jerron, our other foxy intern.
Bicurious.
Who also went out with Jerron and didn't much take to Jerron's rap, but went out last night with Nick Cannon, rapper Nick Cannon, host of the MTV show Wild and Out.
Yes, it was for an extra taping. Mm-hmm. The matchmaker that was in here last week for me and Jerron had emailed me and asked if I would be willing to go on, and I said, of course. Mm-hmm. So we met at the Grove last night. Mm-hmm. And, the camera crew's right in your face and interviewing you. And are you excited? Are you nervous? All these questions. And I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah. It was really awkward, though. Mm-hmm. So then it was this, unveiling that I walked up to him at the bar. And he hadn't seen me. I knew who he was, but he hadn't seen me.
Sure, it's on TV.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So I said hello, and we sat and had a drink.
Mm-hmm. And how did it go? Were you attracted to him?
Yeah, he's a very good-looking guy. I was definitely attracted to him, but it was also very awkward because these cameras are right in your face, and
right.
you know, and I'm sitting there going, so, what's your favorite
color? It's uncomfortable. Yeah.
You know, and then there's all these pauses, and but it was fun.
First of all, I don't understand where did Extra find you to do this? It's a strange thing.
It was through the matchmaker, celebrity matchmaker.
They decided the Extra thing. But then the other question is, why would you agree to go out with Nick Cannon when you rejected Jerron, his doppelganger? He was Jerron is tall, slender, pretty handsome black man.
Beautiful eyes.
Why yeah. Nick Cannon and not Jerron?
It wasn't for the fact
his
that it
wallet
was
wallet is slender, too.
No,
that's the problem.
No, that has nothing
tall,
to do with
slender
it.
Wallet.
That's what Jerron's been on me about. But no, it was not the fact about him. It was just she asked me, would you help me out? Would you want to do this? And I said, sure, why not?
Yeah, but now you're attracted to Nick Cannon, but you weren't to Jerron. How do you figure that?
I told you why.
They're both
money.
Very
that's right.
attractive.
You're right.
Well, look.
Am I going to go on another date with Nick? Probably not.
Why?
Well, because I don't know. I didn't get his information.
I'm still
it
naive.
It probably just wouldn't happen.
I know. Here, let me explain to young Damashek. This is part of the reason why you'll not be going to P.O.B.'s Christmas party this year. I'm not going to P.O.B. CP, I should say. Here's the thing. If two women look exactly the same and one guy is not interested in one of the women, he's not interested in the other one. It doesn't matter if one of them is a felon in for vehicular manslaughter and the other one just invented a beer can that was the size of a 12-ounce can but held 16 ounces.
Right. If she's
although
not
work on that, would you?
Right.
If you're yeah. not in, you're not in, or you're in.
Look, Jerron,
and it doesn't make sense to us. That's all right, Larissa. It doesn't make sense to us that wouldn't apply with women, but it's just quite the opposite. You have two guys that look exactly the same. One of them loves puppies and volunteers and has a great business or is in a band or whatever, and the other guy lives at home. It's all the difference in the world. That's exactly how women work. And as a matter of fact,
absolutely.
You know the beautiful thing about women, and I swear we have to conduct this experiment because I've had my wife does this. She'll look at, we'll be watching TV and like the Bachelor guy will come on and she'll go, ugh, what a pig. And I'll say, what do you mean the guy's 6'3"? He has rock hard abs. I just can't because she doesn't like him. You could take two guys, nay, take the same guy. Have him show up as a guy who loves kittens, volunteers, plays professional beach volleyball, and loves to perform fellatio on women. And then take this same guy, put a mustache on him, and say he's the guy's brother who's in and out of the joint and likes to pollute rivers and lives at home. And she would swear to you that that guy's ugly. Not that I'm not
absolutely.
Attracted to him. She would say, no, he's physically, no, the other guy's much better looking. That's how women work. It's probably better.
Yeah.
It's a pure way of thinking.
It's interesting.
They recognize evil. Jerron, you're evil.
I know.
You're the evil twin.
If Nick were to call and ask me out again, I would definitely go. I had a fun time. It was just mm-hmm. the fact that the cameras were there and it was just
well,
put
how
on
did,
the spot.
How did you leave it with him?
We said, you know, thanks, and we'll keep in touch. He got
so you,
my
did you
number.
Get a kiss? Second base?
No,
get a kiss?
No,
a kiss?
Not at all.
Third base.
It was a hug, and that was it. But
hug
he got
and a
my
tug,
number,
and that was it.
What I got.
How about this? Did you want to have a kiss?
Yeah.
I think I hit the nerve.
Yeah. Jaron, this would be so much easier if Larissa was just racist.
I know.
It'd be so, you could pass it off as her not being open-minded, but it turns out she loves the brothers, just not you. You're the only black guy she doesn't like.
It's true.
It's true.
Can I say this? Here's what I think is going to happen now. I think Nick Cannon is going to call you. He's now been on national TV with a woman. Mm-hmm. His cred is dependent on him now making time with you. He must lay down with you. He's going to call you, give you all he's got.
Will you give it up for him?
Between the sheets, and that's that.
That's all I want to know. Will you give it up for him?
Oh,
I don't know.
So all I have to do is get a TV crew and I can get laid, too?
It has nothing to do about the wallet, honestly. John's been after me about the whole guy with the Mercedes. I said I didn't even know he had a Mercedes at the time that I went on a date with him.
Yeah. You do the math, though. The guy's wearing the Mercedes hubcap-sized medallion encrusted in diamonds. You figure he's not driving a Nissan Sentra. All right, let's take ourselves a break. Larissa, keep us updated. If Nick calls you,
I will definitely. And
by the way,
with the last name of Cannon, you know he's got something between the legs. Your name Cannon, you got to have a bazooka between your legs.
Uh-huh.
All right, sorry, Jaron. I'm sorry, brother.
It's all right.
Now give me a coffee. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. Comedian Dom Herrera is going to be in here. Then news. Then sports. What can Adam complain about? Dave Jerk Report. Oh, my wife's calling in. Actor Guy Pearce from L.A. Confidential, wow. Memento, and other great movies going to be in studio. All that coming up.
Hey, this is Tori Spelling. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. My wife's angry at Tori Spelling because, she's angry at the guy who married her because he was with his wife. Once in a while, as a husband, you find yourself defending positions and then realize it's getting a little cathartic and you knock it off. You know, she's like, I can't believe it. That guy, Tori Spelling's new husband, you know, that guy's married for 13 years. He has two kids, one on the way, one just born, and he drops his wife, his dedicated wife of 13 years with a newborn on the way and goes out with this young, blonde trollop. Well, yeah, but you gotta understand. I mean, maybe things weren't going so, yeah, you're right. That's how the argument goes. I initially start defending his position, thinking maybe it's a position I have to defend for myself in a few short years, and then I realize it just seems stupid. People do a lot of defending of folks that they don't need to defend, and it becomes a little cathartic, and then people read right through you, and it seems like, well, this is your position now.
Well, they were in here a couple weeks ago, and I have to say, maybe there are some issues as far as that goes, but he did like hockey.
He did like that's Dave.
He's a good guy.
That's Dave's. That was the funny thing. Yeah, my wife was saying he's despicable. And I was like, well, he liked hockey and he seemed like a good guy. He had mammoth tattoos, Tori tattoos.
Of her.
Mammoth.
On the wrist I saw.
Oh, no. I mean, oh, yes, but oh, no. I mean, on the wrist. That's the tip of his tat iceberg.
Ooh.
Tad Iceberg, good wrestling name.
Yeah.
On the shoulder. And I mean, actually, she's not a tall woman, so these were actually bigger than life size. They were scale plus. We call them in the modeling world. He had tats. It's one of these things where it smelled a little of overcompensation. Mm-hmm. Three life-size tats on your body
The one on his, I think, left upper arm was a portrait of her.
Yeah.
Including her bosoms.
Oh,
it was her head, neck, and bosoms, and after that, cut off.
Yeah.
It was a handsome.
The good news.
I agree.
Tribute.
I think it's when you have to have three of them,
I think there may have been four, but yeah, the good news is it just looked like the tat of a hot, bosomy chick. Mm-hmm. Mm. So as long as the next chick you hook up with is hot and bosomy, you're in.
That's right.
Okay. Speaking of in Tracy Metro. Yes, that's her real name. Tracy Metro, who's getting saner as the morning wears on.
Thank you.
I had you 50-50 when I met you.
And now?
Nuts insane. Now it's 53-47.
Ooh, I am progressing slowly.
Sane, starting to edge out nutty. Either way, like I said, wild in the sack.
Yeah, wow. Baby.
She's going to sit in and do the news for us. So, without any further ado, Tracy Metro with the news.
Thank you, Adam. Well, we actually do have some news about an execution gone bad yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I know. In the midst of double murderer Joseph Clark's lethal injection, he sat up and actually said, and I'm quoting here, Adam, this is not working. This is not working. Evidently, he had a collapsed vein. They were able to find a working vein, and he was pronounced dead at 11:26 in the morning.
Well, sounds macabre and surreal. But, you know, I heard stories about how this stuff worked. And this is why we need to just bring back the guillotine. But, you know, they give you the first injection. Well, look, think about this. Think about what if this isn't your greatest nightmare. The first injection they give you basically is a sedative. It's supposed to just stop you, just paralyze you. You can't move your muscles. The second one they give you collapses your lungs, essentially stops your pulmonary function. The problem is what they're saying is the first injection is not putting people out. What it's doing is it's stopping them from being able to move, but it's not putting them out. So they suffocate.
Paralyzes you.
They're paralyzed, and then they're suffocating.
And you're lucid.
But they're lucid while they're suffocating.
And they're saying they're in pain during this process.
Right, but you wouldn't know it. Right, you wouldn't know it because their lips aren't moving. They can't move anything, but they're they're in horrid pain.
God forbid they should be in pain, though. I mean, they did. He was a double murderer, people.
Right. No, I'd like these guys taken out to the town square. We go ahead and drop the guillotine on them. Then we use the seldom used trebuchet to fire their head toward China.
Very clean. I like that.
Very clean and sends a message.
All righty. Well, as I'm
that we're insane. But either way, that's the problem. These other countries think we're sane. Oh, we'll blow up a couple of their buildings. We'll do what we want. They have to react rationally. I want them to think like we're crazed junkies. That if they get next to us, like we're heavy set black women who are drunk and we're all press on nail and cornrows. That if they get near us and start screwing with us, we might just go off on them. We don't care.
You don't think the world thinks we're crazy, given that we elected a halfwit as the president?
I think they think we'll do stuff for money, but in general, it's not that crazy eye for an eye thing. I think they think the advantage they have on us is we're crazy. It's sort of like, you know what it's like? It's like Lennox Lewis getting into a street fight. This guy could beat anyone on the planet up, but stay away from the guy who's infected with Hep C who'll cut you.
I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Thank you, George.
Very nice. Well, as I'm sure you've heard, Denise Richards has been seen hanging out with Heather Locklear's soon-to-be ex, Richie Sambora, while Heather herself has been cuddling up to the very cute David Spade.
Yes.
He is so cute.
I find him attractive.
You know, I thought you would with the long blonde hair he has. Mm-hmm. Well, there's some not-so-neighborly mudslinging going on in this love triangle. Have a listen.
Heather knows why and when her marriage ended with Richie, and she knows when and why my marriage ended with Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say, but exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say a lot with saying nothing at all.
Here's the whole thing about Denise Richards, if you're listening. You have about 3 more years left on your hot meter than you're off everyone's radar.
But she is so hot.
She's so hot, but she produces nothing. She's not exactly what you call a fine actress. And she has about 3 years left of hot, and then she's completely gone. So get in your licks. Have fun while the sun is shining. So soon it will set.
So you're saying she should hook up with a rich guy now?
That's what I'm saying.
May I also say that the cameras from these entertainment shows have been following her around, and they followed her around all day the other day. She's driving around. She stops off at Starbucks, gets a bunch of coffee for her friends, then goes over to her friend's mansion and goes out and hangs out with the friends. Here's my question. Where are your babies?
Ooh.
Wow.
You just had a baby, lady. What are you doing running around hanging out with people? Listen, I'm not, I don't even have children. I'm sure I won't be the parent of the year, but sweet Jesus, woman.
I would use this, by the way, to my advantage. If I knew the cameras from the entertainment shows were following me around, it'd be, you know, normally I would just go down to the corner, buy a sixer, pack a butt, score some weed, and then go back up to the house. But today, I'm heading to the aquarium to work with retarded dolphins.
Exactly.
And they would have to report it. 6 a.m. Corolla just finished his grueling 8 miles of road work, and now it's off to the aquarium to help the retarded dolphins. And everyone would be watching going, what? Charlie Sheen's an animal. Carolla's a great guy. He's working with those dolphins.
Just get a podium outside of your house and just make proclamations about how we have to do something about Darfur. Say, like, Clooney and Carolla spearheading the movement.
Yes, I'm just do something good. Go to the gym. You know, they always follow them, and they're going shopping. They're going to a movie.
Very
it garners no sympathy because you're sitting around and you're watching, and it's like, wait a minute. It's Tuesday. It's 2 in the afternoon, and these guys are going to see RV, and then they're going out to lunch. Are you kidding?
Don't these people work?
Head down to the homeless shelter, even if it's for that one day. Yeah. Just have the cameras follow you.
Exactly. Very much like, what's his name, who did it in New Orleans? Married to Sean Penn. Exactly.
Yes, that's
Sean
what Penn. I would do. I would get in a boat with a shotgun and just pretend to row in my driveway. So they thought I was insane.
That's why I like the idea of the podium. It's just you making statements, and then the camera turns the other way, and you're just doing it to the street.
There's I like the retarded aquarium, if there, in fact there is such a thing for special fish.
I believe so.
Okay.
Well, I have some Soprano news for you, Adam.
Ah, great.
John Ventimiglia. See, I don't watch the show, but he's the guy who plays Artie Bucco, the chef, on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, he was busted on Monday for driving under the influence.
Mm.
Meanwhile, Louis Gross, the guy who plays Tony's muscle-bound bodyguard that Tony beat up just a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
He was arrested on Sunday for breaking into a friend's brother's home. Here's what he said. He said, "I don't know nothing. I'm innocent. I'm always innocent."
Muscles nice accent, marinara. Right?
It's a bad sign. Well, breaking into a friend's brother's home could be like whatever. I mean, that doesn't necessarily. I've done plenty of things that would sound like sound on paper much worse than that. Maybe the guy borrowed something from him and he wanted to go get it back.
Through the window.
Yeah.
He wanted to return it through the window.
Yeah. And as far as the DUI goes, .08, please, we're all three beers away from being criminals.
That's a good point. But on the other hand, I mean, if it was just by itself, it'd be one thing. But this Artie Bucco, the wheels have come off.
Yes, I know.
He's really losing his restaurants tanking, and now, you know, marriage is in trouble.
This is the actor, Dave, who plays Artie Bucco.
Who?
John Ventimiglia.
This is a fictional story. This is a fictitious story about
Artie Bucco got his hand stuck in the
Artie Bucco's the name of a fictitious character who runs a restaurant in The Sopranos, which is a show. It's not a documentary. It's not a real guy.
I don't follow.
Okay. Later on, I'm going to drop a bomb on you about Superman and then Aquaman. And I'm sorry.
Superman. Well, made of steel.
Ty, he's an
man.
Okay, all right.
That's right. And finally, in Idol news, Parrot Bennett, you know her. She's the 17-year-old.
Paris.
Excuse me, did I say Parrot? Paris.
I think you did, but
excuse
Parrot's
me.
Good,
thank
too.
You. Paris Bennett, the 17-year-old, who's one of the five finalists, she sang Mary J. Blige's song, Be Without You, which actually has the S word in the lyrics, which, of course, the producers had to dump her out last night. Here's a clip.
They see that we did that. It's so true. It. Yes. We've been through it. Yes. We got real
See? Did you hear that? We got real
Yeah. She said it. Did she actually say it in front of the young crowd?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I was watching, and I was... My wife, she's, by the way, had an ass full of me because I'm more of a madman out of the studio than I am in.
Mm.
I decided, A, she's getting voted out.
Hmm. Paris?
Paris is getting voted out because she turned in the worst showing last night. She's been in the bottom two or three before, and everyone else did a pretty good job. And the reason she's going to get voted out is because she sung that horrible Prince song, that kid song. Now, she sung the song, and you can't sing this song.
Well, there's nothing to sing.
There's
really.
Nothing to sing. Boy, it still holds up, though, doesn't it? Just as good as it was in 1988, isn't it?
Yeah, so perhaps Paris should have chosen a different song.
I cried sweet vindication. I said, I hate Prince, and she's getting thrown out because of the pompous Prince, because she chose one of his horrible songs from the year she was born.
All right, your hatred of Prince aside, let me say this. The white-haired fella.
Yes.
That was I didn't watch the whole thing. I could stomach only about 4 or 5 minutes of the show last night, and I saw this buffoon dancing around in the audience and everything, singing.
I missed that part.
You didn't see it.
Let me make this point as I made to my wife for the third time. She's pregnant. There's no tolerance for me anymore. Here's what happened. Taylor sung a Beatles song.
Right.
And even though he arguably, now Dave, focus.
No, he didn't.
He yes, didn't he play did.
His second song was a Beatles song.
It was
okay.
Good.
That's all right. Here's my point. Everyone dig this for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor has the worst singing voice out of the five that are left.
No way.
Now, he has great style. He has great presence. But his pipes are not as good as the other four in the competition.
Oh, I disagree.
Well, who does he have a better voice than?
Better?
Okay, quiet, crazy.
Damn, I bet up the crazy factor!
Taylor has a good voice.
Yeah.
The other people in the competition have great voices. He has a lot of presence and a lot of style, and I would like him to win the competition, but he doesn't have the pipes.
Okay, I know. Who? The rocker guy.
No.
Chris
Daughtry?
Yeah, not a good voice, amazing performer, great vibe, everything.
No.
Well, come on now. Put them singing, you know.
He has a different voice.
No,
he doesn't.
Other.
He doesn't sound like Whitney Houston, but he cranks out a rock power
different
ballad.
Voice.
And, oh, he's done slow stuff, too, that has worked as well. All right, listen.
I love him, though.
I'm this close to throwing you out of
listen,
my studio.
Listen, the white-haired guy also, though, did play that funky music. White boy, he's doing that, and he's doing the Billy White Shoes Johnson touchdown dance. He's doing the knee-knocking dance.
Yeah. Yes.
That was so queer, and I don't mean gay. It was an embarrassment.
Let me finish my point, please. Point is Taylor... I don't mind you arguing with me, babe.
That's okay, baby.
This is our last day for us?
Yes.
Okay.
My first and last day.
Taylor has a good voice and a lot of style. Probably not the pipes of the other four people in the competition with him. Paris has great pipes. She has a great singing voice.
Yeah.
She chose this horrible song. Mm-hmm. And nobody sings good enough to overcome this song. He chose a good song, which is a Beatles song, and will move on because of it. So, if it's a good song, a lesser singer can do it, and it's still a good song. If it's a horrible song, such as this song, the greatest pipes in the world can't drag it out of the gutter.
You, my
Thank
friend,
you.
Are right.
Once again, making my point that Prince is horribly, horribly overrated, and this song sucks, and you guys remember it from getting handies in the back of your mom's square back when you're 15. That's why you think it's good.
Just,
it sucks.
I don't know. All I can say is this. You know Cleto, the saxophone player from The Kimmel Show, and a very accomplished musician, accomplished studio musician and beyond, been on the stage and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to him about this very subject, that you hate Prince.
Yes.
Carolla hates Prince.
I only hate him because everyone else hails him as a genius.
I said, listen, I'm not
Thank
enough
you.
Of a music expert.
Well,
I
then be
to
quiet
people,
and do
no,
your sports.
I said instrument. I said to Cleto, I said, what's the story with Prince? He said, everybody who plays music, everyone who's an accomplished musician hails him as a genius
right.
because he's so forward-thinking and a trailblazer. I don't know. I don't hear it. He doesn't offend me,
have
but
you
I don't
seen
love
the,
him. But I'm
have,
just saying.
This is from a guy who toured with Paula Abdul and had hair like Kenny G 18 months ago. You're listening to him? How dare
All
you?
All I want to say is, Adam, you are so right. I'm so wrong. You know, you have such excellent taste in music
Thank you, sweetie.
And television. That, my friend, is the Metro Minute.
Thank you. Ooh, the Metro
it's
Minute.
Time.
I like that.
For yeah. Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
I want to apologize to Cleto, by the way, saying he had hair like Kenny G. It was more like Amy Grant, circa 1994. Sorry. Go ahead.
I thought I was making a good point, too.
It was decent.
Well, unfortunately, the battle for L.A. is going to have
Let me say
to wait.
This. Let me say this. You know, we think musicians must know music.
Yeah.
Do you think guys in the NFL know sports?
That's a good point.
Decent
yeah.
point.
Yeah, that is
I
a good
I guarantee
one.
You know five times as much as everybody who went to Honolulu for the Pro Bowl combined last year. That's what's sad about
I know
it.
So, in other words, yeah, so because I know so much, then that makes me as far away from a decent athlete.
That's
the
right.
Less, the worse athlete you are, the more you know about
That's
sports.
That's exactly how it goes. So how many guys who run a 4.440 are in the Fairy Tale Baseball League?
Touche.
All right.
I'm bummed now.
Sorry.
All right. Anyway, as I say, the battle for L.A. Is going to have to wait at least a few more days because the Lakers win last night would have clinched the series over the Suns and created the Clippers versus Kobe second round matchup at the Staples Center. But it didn't work out, at least last night. Suns took it 114-97. The two teams do it again tomorrow night. Suns might be playing without Rajah Bell, who mauled Kobe at the end of the game. Did you see him?
No.
Grabbed him around the neck, threw him to the floor.
Wow.
He's probably going to get suspended. If that series does come to be, though, Clippers-Lakers, I was thinking about it. How much, what disparity do you think there will be, even though the both games, all the games will be played in the Staples Center, in Laker for the Lakers' home games versus the Clippers' home games?
Well, it's interesting. If I know this town, there'll be a whole bunch of people jumping on the Clippers' bandwagon.
Definitely,
who
yeah.
weren't formerly there 6 months ago. It's the same thing that happened when the Kings, every 50 years, the Kings make a Stanley Cup appearance, or at least a playoff appearance, and the whole town all of a sudden jumps on the Kings' bandwagon, then they promptly jump off when they get knocked out of the playoffs. So I think there'll be a lot of interesting naysayers. The Lakers aren't so good that it's a guaranteed sweep by probably a coin toss.
I would take the Clippers, yeah.
Or, yeah, coin toss, or at least, or maybe you give the nod to the Clippers. So could be more 50-50.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Depends who gets to wear the home jerseys, and do they all...
Well, yeah, it'll be four Clippers so-called home games. They'll be in the whites, and the Lakers will be in the purple.
I say whoever's jerseys look cooler. If I know this town,
I'm going to have to analyze that. I'm going to give it a lot of thought. Sacramento, meantime, gave the Spurs a fight down in San Antonio. Came up short, though. The defending champion Spurs lead the series 3-2. Sacramento gets another shot Friday. Speaking of Sacramento, the king of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, emerged from his castle yesterday to hook up with NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue to talk about putting an NFL team, or perhaps two, in Southern California or in the LA area. Here's their uncomfortable greeting.
Dylan! You son of a bitch. What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
That seems weird and not germane. And who is Dylan?
That's a great gay scene, by the way, from Terminator. Oh, no, what is that? No, that's
Predator.
That's Predator.
That's where he sees Apollo Creed for the first time.
Yes.
They both have cut off their Army-issue uniforms. They've cut off the sleeves of them to expose their bulging muscles. Dewey from Sweat for some
Apollo
reason.
Apollo Creed is glistening. Yeah, it's like...
sexy.
Bob, why are you oiling up before you go to your desk job again? And by the way, what happened to the sleeves? Yeah.
Are you allowed to cut up the Army uniform?
It's called a uniform.
Yeah.
If you wanted to tie the shirt tails in a knot in front of you and wear it like we're in Cuba in the 50s, we wouldn't allow that either, by the way.
Yeah.
It's called a uniform.
And then they see each other, when they see each other across the room, they come up to each other and they give them, and then the camera zooms in on their arms.
Both have rippling triceps and biceps, but he's calling him soft.
Yeah.
Dylan, you son of a bitch. What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
And then they laugh. A manly laugh.
They're both posing down, yeah. Very gay.
But he went on from that and gave an impassioned plea to please, NFL, put a team or two in our area.
Come on! Do it now!
He's serious about this. He says...
covered with mud.
I thought it was a very clever tact on his part. He said, forget about one team. We need two teams.
Yeah.
See, smart. That's the way you do it. You say, well, forget about it. Well, one's a given. You know, we need two. Now people say, oh, he's talking crazy talk. We're not putting two teams there. Now he's playing the seat. Oh, well, we definitely are giving them one. Now the issue has become, do we get two?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
They're haggling.
Nicely done, Governator. Now, on to the past time. By the way, we got to think of what those teams' names are going to be, too. I think the obvious are going to be the Terminators, the Predators, things like this. But
yeah,
I like those. Pastime, just like their NBA brethren, Phoenix's pro baseball team got the better of L.A. Snakes rallied from 6 down to beat the Dodgers. Padres dumped the Giants. In spite of Barry the Creep Bonds hitting number 712. The Padres beat him, as I say. A's beat up the Halos. Twins over the Mariners. And one more thing I want to make mention
of. What are Dodgers, 16-19? This is really heating up.
They're swooning now.
It's really heating up.
They're swooning. And tomorrow.
Heating up.
I want to say.
16-19. Look, boys, if you guys don't win almost half of the next 135 games, you may not make the playoffs.
You were talking a half an hour ago about the greatness of going to the ball.
I'm just saying, if there are any Dodgers listening, you have a short 134 games to get back on track. That's all. If you don't do it another 125 to 140 games or so, there may be no postseason for you.
All right, speaking
Let's
of
go.
On track.
The gauntlet's been laid down. You have about 4 months to get it together.
Speaking of on track. The San Jose Sharks have moved on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and their finest player, a man named Jonathan Chichu, will be joining us tomorrow.
Mm.
on the show. How about that?
Yeah, I know he's a
sadly,
fan.
Sadly, the second best name in the NHL is now out of the playoffs. Montreal Canadiens eliminated last night by the Carolina Hurricanes. The goalie, his name?
Jacques Lestrap.
Close.
That would be a great goalie name.
Cristobal Huey.
Wow,
I love
that's
that
good,
name.
Yeah.
That is good. Not as good as Chichu.
Or Jacques Lestrap.
Yeah, I guess that's the third place finish there.
Game over.
Nice. Metro Minute indeed.
All right. Yes. Dom Herrera is coming in studio. Very funny comedian, Dom Herrera. Also, Dave has himself a jerk report. And actor Guy Pearce finally classing up this place a little bit. Dom coming in after this, and we'll be right back.
My cousin Louie walked into a bar. He goes, "Hey, Dom, I think that waitress noticed me." What do you think she noticed, Louie? The fact that your belly came in four steps ahead of you? You think she was wondering what was behind that ball of girth? And I don't mean that in a bad way, Louie. Yeah, she won't go out, but she must be like a lesbo or something.
Dom Herrera in the studio. I do like the pathetic guy who thinks the hot young chick is checking him out.
Right, right. The lesbo. She had to be a lesbo to resist a hunk like you.
I once went to a Chinese food place with a guy named Russ who was a concrete pumper who had missing front teeth, and he drove a ranchero whose driver's side door was so caved in he had to crawl out of the window of it or use the passenger side door, and we were covered with concrete because we were working all day, and a smoking hot 19-year-old chick walked down the street, and he said, "Wow, look at that. Let's go talk to her." And I said, "Duh,
you got a shot."
I don't think so, Russ. You reek of B.O. And he looked at me confused, and he said, "I don't think I can say the word." He said, "It started with a P and ended with a Y." He said, "Adam, don't you want any blank?"
Right. Like, you're going to get it right there.
Yeah, are we going to team her on the sidewalk, Russ, or are we just going to go back to my place and take turns? Yeah, like those guys.
Well, they're also the guys with the that look so hideous, and they think that, you know, like, she's not good enough for them.
Yeah.
Look at that skank. Guy's got like a pushed in face. Look at that. What a pig. What a beast she is.
It works that way with weight. A lot of guys,
right.
150 pounds overweight, looking at a chick who's 17 pounds overweight, going, "Too much ass for me.
Not my type." Your type is anybody you could get. That's your type. Hey, she's not my type. I like the model type.
Dom is going to be at the Laugh Factory this Friday and Saturday, 10 o'clock. Dom, how long have you been doing stand-up? What year are we going on?
1934.
34? Really?
I passed at the Improv in 1980.
Really? And you came...
You know, that's so funny about that. Is they always go, "Boy, you've been around a long time, huh? Like I'm a loser." I go, "Try being around for a long time. Boy, you've been around a long time, huh, pups?"
Yeah. Yeah.
you're not going to be around for a long time because I've seen your act.
Yeah, I mean, what is the alternative to being around for a long time? Flash in the pan?
Right.
Go back to wherever you came from? You came out from Philadelphia at what age? And did you come out to do stand-up?
No, I came. I went to college in Miami, and then I went to New York. I was an actor and doing improvs and stuff, and that's where I came out of improv. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, if you ask me for an occupation or a physical position, I can do that for you on the radio.
Oh, really?
Very creative.
I'll throw something out.
Yeah, just throw anything out, and I'll come back with some Wayne Brady-ish.
I'll give you a relationship.
I'll just start singing for some reason.
So you went to school in Miami.
Went to school in Miami. I was lucky. I was in a professional group right out of school, and then I went to New York, and I realized, and I did. I was doing some commercials, but acting was so tough to get. You could be a really good actor and not work,
right?
You could be a crap stand-up and still get some gigs at, Jimmy's Clam Bar in Bayonne,
right?
So that's why I became a stand-up, for the money, because I still like acting. I still like working with people, but I started doing stand-up. That came out here in about 86, 87.
I'm looking here at your IMDb, and it says here you appeared on Oprah.
Yeah, a couple times.
I don't mean this to be a backhanded compliment, but why Oprah? What was the story?
Well, she had themes on comedy. She had one where Matter of fact, she had Sinbad on one time, and we, you know, like everything, it does, obviously it's not live. She asked one question, and Sinbad talked for 17 minutes. Turns into good seven, because I did a bit on Sinbad based on, and not to put him down, but just that kind of like the black comics, that they got the energy, they don't even need a joke.
Right.
I was at the bus stop, the bus didn't come. Why they gonna call the bus stop when the bus ain't even stopping? What's up with that? You know what I mean? Like, there's no bit, but like the energy. Yeah. Anyway, the reason I did Oprah was...
That's why preaching comes so naturally to them. Exactly. They have a captive audience and 4 hours to kill.
Oh, I know. Eddie Griffin would do stuff like this. You know, instead of giving our kids knives and guns, we should give them pencils and books.
Oh,
like who's going to argue with that? No, give them knives and guns. Let them learn.
Why don't we compromise? Give them a book and a knife.
Let's take it slow. Let's split the difference.
Believe me, you've done it. I've done it. If you do any of those roasts, any of those Comedy Central roasts, and you see Dick Gregory get up there and do 45 minutes on the civil liberties and try to direct that into Hugh Hefner or Eddie Griffin get up there and talk about Pam Anderson for about an hour and 45, you realize, whew.
I want to put a revolver in my mouth. I was at the one with Pamela Anderson. Louis Black and I went over to see that, and what was her name? Courtney Love.
Yeah.
Every time the attention was off her, she would just lift her legs in the air.
Yes.
That was it. Wow, that is a good punchline.
Yeah.
She's a good writer.
I mentioned it got the best laugh out of anything I said, but of course it was cut out of the thing, which is I said, you know, it's got to be surreal for Courtney Love, which was a short 7 or 8 years ago. She's on stage, she pulls her skirt up. 12,000 people go insane.
Yeah, now
she threatens to pull her top off and 5,000 people yell, "Holy Christ, no.
No.
Please, no. Dear God, no."
Don't unleash them.
5,000 drunk atheists, by the way, in the crowd yell, "Dear Christ, no. Put the top back on." That's got to be a weird message.
She had pretty nice legs, though.
I got to say, she was looking a little heavy. She was sitting next to me in the makeup chair before the roast, chain smoking, yelling at her publicist on a cell phone, and he was
sober.
Standing behind her.
Sober,
by the way, and just as insane gets.
Oh yeah,
it's weird. Like when you get high or drunk, you probably just mellow out, right?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, mostly. I mean, I fight with my girlfriend sometime. You know, these stupid fights stuff that you would never say when you were sober. Like, I hope your kid dies. You know, kind of, you know what I mean?
Mean. And it's your kid, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, stuff you would never say.
She just went back to her husband again. My girlfriend, it's such a weird relationship, but anyway, I digress. But
yeah, tell me. No, tell me.
No, it's very weird. I met this woman. And she lied to me so much that I fell in love with her. Mm-hmm. Right? It was like one of those, everything was like, I met her at a go-go bar. She was bartending. Mm-hmm. And she knew that I had, stop, and I promised myself I wasn't going to cry. You son of a bitch.
Where are these go-go bars, by the way?
This is in Atlantic City. It's actually called a go-go bar.
They have go-go bars.
Because it's not a strip club. They don't call them bikini bars or go-go bars.
Right.
I know it sounds antiquated.
That.
Yeah.
No, I like it.
Like they're going to do Shindig or something. But
Dick Clark's going to come out with the bright black hair and start screaming into a thin microphone. Yeah.
But she told me that I met her and just clicked. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I said, "Well, you know, you want to come out with me?" She was bartending. I don't know where I got the chutzpah to ask her. She said, "Yeah." I take her out to this place, this casino I'm playing called Borgata, and she comes over and she let me ask the manager. The manager was her husband.
Wow.
And the reason that she let him go out with me, because she thought I was a mark, because she thought, well, he's kind of famous. He must have a couple bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she thought I was all, he's a boomba who probably gambles. Mm-hmm. So I put a couple $1,000 down and give her $500 to gamble. And that's how they pocket the money.
Dom Herrera here, by the way.
Now, wait a second.
Tales of woe. So she's married, and you start dating her. Do you have sex with her?
No, I didn't. Well, first of all, I didn't start dating. I just had... I had no intention of having sex with her because it was all happening so fast, I didn't kind of believe it. She's pretty hot, you know. I'll show you some pictures of her off the air. Like it's going to matter if it's on the air. The pictures.
Like to but see it, yeah.
Anyway.
You ultimately had sex with her, though,
well,
right?
Well, first, I wouldn't, but she performed an act on me that's known in the Bible as a BJ. But
she's on the grift initially?
No, this isn't the first. Well, yeah. First of all, she lied to me. She said she was unmarried with one child. She was married with two kids.
Uh-huh.
She's never called me on a Wednesday or Thursday. And I'm thinking, what is she going out with, like a fireman or something?
Right.
Who's like, you know, at the place. And anyway, so I believed it. Anyway, long story short, we end up falling in love. Mm-hmm. Retarded as I am and nuts as she is.
Right.
And that's what happened. So now she has to go back because they're thinking of taking her other kid. And it's a very long story. She has a kid, two kids for two different guys, but one is her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to her husband the other night. It's like so, cause.
So are you guys broken up now?
No, well, we break up and, you know, we get horny and come back. It's like,
how long has this been going on?
Since July.
And have you been married before?
Yeah.
Married and divorced?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you not going to get married again?
No, I don't know. I mean, I was married to, you know, I was married to the woman who played the mother of the ugly baby on Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Remember her?
Yeah.
Jerry, the baby. We were in an improv group together. We fell in love, you know, and we were married for a while. But, you know, I was like, at the time, I couldn't be married because the temptation in comedy, we're talking about like ugly guys. You can get women and come. If I went into a bar right now and I was a plumber, no shot.
No.
Right? But what I look like now goes from portly to cuddly.
Mm-hmm.
Because of your cachet of stage and something.
That's what I hear. It's
right.
Amazing.
It's amazing.
And especially if there's women in the audience of the show you're doing and you perform.
Well, that's exactly what happens.
It's not like you do your gigs at 10 a.m. or noon. You do it at 10 o'clock. People are drunk. You meet up with them after the show. It's midnight. You're standing around the bar.
Right.
You're on the road.
Yeah. Good lighting.
Oh, my God. I was down at the Comedy Magic Club a month ago, and these two women, an Irish girl and an English girl, come up to me at Hennessy's. And the girl, I was so like, you know, like, so easy. She got the girl, it was so easy I didn't want to do it. She says, you know, why don't we go back to your place? We'll show you a good time. They're 21 and 22. I'm thinking, look at me. I'm hideous.
Well, but I mean, you're gay, too. Forget about hideous.
Gay.
So easy, you didn't want to do it. The combined age was 39. You didn't want
to
do it.
I am so gay. I'm almost straight again. I swear to God.
Because you're staying faithful to the lady who's trying to.
No, I just didn't want to be bothered. They were drunk. But I'm just saying, the opportunities. If there was a part of me was going, how do you even pass this up if you don't feel like doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Just for the story.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, but I, you know what? I knew it was going to happen. They were so drunk. They were going to sober up. Then I'd have to drive them home or give me, you know, it's like, it's going to be a pain. Wasn't going to be worth it. It was worth going home watching Adults Unlimited or whatever.
The beauty about being a comedian or even having a sense of humor, no matter how much you achieve, you're always tortured. And even when you're presented with these sort of, this manna from heaven in the form of the two 20-year-old chicks, you still turn it down just to F with yourself.
Yeah.
Just because if you're not going to be tortured, you'll have to be the one who does the torturing.
Well, also, you figure, like, even the most dramatic things in life, you think there might be a bit in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my sister died recently. I love my sister. Like, nobody in the room. I talk to her every day. And even in the middle of that and all that, like, crying and stuff, I thought to myself, somebody said, you know, she's in a better place.
Mm-hmm.
I go, she's in a better place. She's in the ground. You know what a better place is? You ever been to Tahiti?
Yeah.
That's a better place.
That's better.
Oahu's a much better. Actually, a dentist chair is a better place than this. But I mean, as soon as like, you know, what I'm saying is even in the middle of that pain, you're still thinking something might be funny there.
That'd be a cruel joke to bury someone in a dentist chair. That'd be a fun eternal joke. I know I don't like the better place talk because they always do that. They start every eulogy with, well, you know, the bad news is young Jeremy's gone. The good news is he's gone to a better place. No longer does he have to deal with the pain and whatever.
Why is everybody so sad?
He's a better place.
I'm always
why is everybody crying?
By the way, what are we all then? We're all just stuck in hell?
Yeah, right.
Like, well, I
can't
like
wait
the idea.
Get out of here.
Yeah. This sucks. This place we're all in, we're trying to keep in.
That's a funny idea, a eulogy being. You never hear like a eulogy bad. This man was a prick. He was a nasty man. I don't know why we're here. He did. He got his coming up or whatever.
I wouldn't mind if they said the place he's gone to is a push.
Yeah.
I mean, no better, no worse. Depends what your cup of tea is. But it's about the same. The fact that it's so much better than what we have really makes me depressed.
Yeah, then why are we all not euphoric when we're 93 celebrating that we're about
to
be dead.
I get to go.
It's my turn. Oh, come on, God, take me.
Dom Herrera is in studio. He's going to be at the Laugh Factory this Friday and Saturday, 10 o'clock in Hollywood. Take a quick break, Dom. Hang out. Tell us more depressing stories of death and being run around.
I thought it was down to earth and a little bit funny, but not overbearing, and I didn't do bits.
But look, it was a 6.5 to 7. We're looking for 8s and 9s.
Right.
We'll be right back after this.
This is Republican Representative Richard Martin, and you're listening to the devil-loving Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Dom Herrera in studio. Dom can be found at the Laugh Factory Friday, Saturday, 10
o'clock.
I'm also
going to New Zealand next week, which I think is...
Really?
It's good exposure for... this is good exposure for Auckland, my Auckland gig.
Well, if you're any kind of fan of Dom at all, you will follow him out and watch him play Auckland. James?
Yeah, what's up?
You have a comment?
Yeah, I was just listening to you guys talk about funerals and what people say, how it's ridiculous. And I've been to a couple funerals before. And how about when it's open casket and everyone's looking at them going, oh, they look so peaceful. Don't they look so peaceful?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, they're stiff as a board.
Looks like
they're
he's sleeping.
Yeah. Looks like he's sleeping.
Looks like he's sleeping with a wig and makeup on.
Plus, yeah.
That's happened to me, too. I saw someone who had been in a car accident. Their religion made them have the casket open.
That's a wake, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like all messed up. They had wax all over them, makeup, and they're like, doesn't she look so peaceful? And I'm like, not so much. I'm going to go ahead and say no.
It's a weird ritual, too. It's a weird thing when the people parade in front of the open casket. Barbaric, and they just go... Oh. They go, well, I just want to see him one more time. It's sort of like... I don't know. It's sort of like you love pizza, but you want to look at it after it's been passed through somebody one more time before you flush the toilet. It's like, I want to remember the pizza as it was.
That's right. Better even to go to Madame Tussauds wax museum than to see this. This is it's ghoulish and disgusting. Eyes sewn shut, blood drawn
also,
out of the body, rock hard.
You should have him sitting up, like waving, like a thumbs up in a chair.
Yeah. You know what
creative.
I'm going to do with everyone I love in my family and in my immediate surroundings is I'm going to ask them just lie down, shut your eyes, pretend like you're sleeping or dead, and let me just look at you for a second. And then if you die and we do the open casket,
right.
Yeah, Dave, put a suit on and lie down. Let me stare at you because I don't want to have to go up to the casket. Plus, you know I'm poking you. There's just no way I'm walking by that casket without a finger.
For all we know, I might die during football season.
I meant with my finger, you pig. Necrophilia. How dare you desecrate the memory of Dave Damashek.
Hey, you think I didn't love Dave, too?
Yeah, but I don't mean love.
Look at him. He looks like he's sleeping.
He's so peaceful. He's going to a better place.
He's going to a much better place, especially
right
here.
He's going to a better place.
He's going to a better show.
He doesn't even seem to mind Corolla making sweet anal love to him.
Oh, boy.
It's dude love.
Hey, I got to eat
love
today.
Dom, we play a game every once in a while on the show called A Hypothetical Question. That is where I ask you, I pose a hypothetical question. No wrong answers. Impossible to get a wrong answer. It's who would you rather drive cross country with in a car? Would you rather drive with this guy or this guy? I give you the two guys. These aren't celebrity names. It's just that guy.
Well,
and you tell us who you'd rather drive.
I hate that guy, so the other guy.
Yeah, but you haven't.
That's a hypothetical answer.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't heard the guy yet.
I know,
imagine
but I'm
you're
just
driving
practicing
around New Zealand
warming
next
up
week with one of these two
right
people.
Right. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
I think we have a song for this, by the way.
I got love.
Oh.
On the road again.
Yeehaw.
So let's ramp up for
with
a while.
Two people that you cannot stand. Driving cross country all across this big old land. It's the hypothetical road trip game.
Well, that was worth the wait, wasn't it?
That was nice.
All right. First guy. This a-hole. The guy claims he doesn't watch TV.
All right.
And, you know, like...
He knows every show.
And I wouldn't mind this guy, except for he's chomping at the bit. He wants to...
Yeah.
He loves telling people that. You're like, hey, could you pass the hummus? I don't watch TV.
Yeah. I read.
Yeah, okay, J.O. I just want the hummus. Thank you. By the way, if I'm talking about TV, go ahead and bring it up. But try not to weave it into every goddamn conversation you have so you feel like everyone's intellectual superior.
That was apologized beforehand, too. I'm sorry, but I don't...
I'm sorry. The evening news? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't watch TV.
He's a
that guy.
All.
Yeah, that guy or this guy. This is the guy, 50-something-year-old guy, stays in shape, wears jeans, but a $700 blazer. Wants to let the ladies know he's still feeling young at heart. That blowhard. Which guy? Which guy do you drive cross country with?
Jeez, I find so much pretension in the second guy. I think the I don't watch TV guy.
You'd go, sorry, I'm wrong. That's wrong.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know
what? Yeah, because what would you talk about if you're driving cross country with a guy who doesn't watch TV?
Because he really does.
Oh, yeah. You figure you get it out of him by Arizona.
He knew Tony Soprano wasn't going to die. We all did.
He jumps in. I like the idea that you could break him at a certain point. All right. How about this guy? The guy, you've seen this guy, you've been behind him in traffic. He's the guy with the pickup truck on the window, the rear window of the pickup truck. He's driving a Ford pickup, and he has that decal of Calvin, Calvin and Hobbes, and he's urinating on the Chevy sticker. That guy, what a genius. Is there some hot, is there a couple stewardesses behind him in a car going, I'd like to get to know this guy better. Slow down. I'm going to jump in through the passenger window. All right, that guy or the guy, and you've seen it. You ever go through the airport, like the Vegas airport, and you see like the NASCAR store, and you see the leather Letterman NASCAR jacket that's $175, and you think, what tard buys this jacket? The guy who buys that jacket. Calvin guy, you could argue it's almost the same guy, but there's subtle differences.
Is there any chance I could go to a better place?
You have to pick a guy. I'm sorry, Dom. Right. One of the two.
The NASCAR guy.
I'm sorry.
Again. Only because I don't know anything about NASCAR. I'm going to find out about
I'm sorry, Dom.
White trash.
I'm just sorry. That one's wrong. All right.
It's wrong again.
Huh? Yeah.
I'm now terrible at this.
Here's one. That's all right. No wrong answers.
And yet I'm wrong twice.
Well.
Even though.
Amazing.
Maybe there's no one wrong answer, but there's two or three. All right, next one.
Can we do one of my bits? Ask me if I rented a car recently, I'll zing you with a bit.
Did you rent a car recently?
Funny you should ask, Adam. look, comedians, they're on a show. They want the guys to ask them about bits that they're going to do that night. Hey, come in and see me do these bits again. No, go ahead. What's the next one?
This is the party guy. Maybe he's in a fraternity, maybe he's a college kid, or maybe he's just a guy who fancies himself a party animal. Mm-hmm. When they play the pickup football games, he gets the number 69 written on his sweatshirt.
Funny, right? Yeah,
because that's funny. That guy, or heavy-set black mother from the news when her teenage son is being put in the back of the cop car and needs to physically be restrained, screaming at the cops and actually held back by the cops yelling, my baby, curlers and wearing some form of pajamas.
Oh, definitely her, just for the smell.
You're going with her.
I'm going with her, just for the stank.
I'm sorry, Dom.
No, I'm not wrong this time.
I'm sorry, she may physically attack you at some point. Yes.
I'm with you, Dom. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. We have a Colt on the phone.
I'm not doing that well.
Colt? Hey, you're 0-3 or 0-4. What's up?
I just had a story about funerals. I used to live in Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know this story.
I don't think...
Yeah.
Anyways, in Argentina, they don't embalm anybody, so they're just sitting in the casket dead.
Mm-hmm.
Natural.
Mm.
And it's just a regular casket. At the end, they seal it up with salt, with silver. They solder it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they solder it shut. Yeah.
And before they solder it, they let everybody go and take a look.
They solderize
it. And at all three funerals that I went to, it was the husband that died.
Mm-hmm.
The wife went at the end to look and just started beating the crap out of her husband for dying.
Oh, my.
Wow.
That's nice.
Yeah.
It's one less shot.
Just hitting him full on in the face. And then they sealed up the casket and everybody went home.
I've learned from watching a lot of those autopsy shows on TV and the CSIs, there's about a 50-50 chance you're going to be dug up. Maybe it's 60-40, but it's somewhere around 50.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Half the bodies that go in the ground get brought back out again, according to my math. So don't put me in the ground. Just leave me up top, do your autopsy, get your tissue sample. And then they always make this remark. The body's amazingly preserved.
Yeah.
That's always the comment they make. 5 years in the ground, and you know what? Brand new. We had a nice conversation, shared a cigarette. Yeah,
his makeup still looks good.
Adam poked him.
Oh, please, Dave. Why do you got to go there? All right. We need to take ourselves a break. Dom?
Yeah.
Nice work.
Hey, really. Thank you. It was fun being here, and I hope to do the show again when you guys get it together. Come on!
Friday and Saturday night at the Laugh Factory. We're going to play What Can't Adam Complain About? Yes, a spirited round of what at
can't Adam complain about. So call
Adam,
in. See if you can stump me.
The world's gold medalist in complaining. Can complain about anything.
Yes.
Teddy bears.
Yes.
Puppy dogs.
Try me. Dolphins. Try me. Call up. See if you can stump me. We'll play that after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, my name is Holland, and I'm a fellow Jew, and you need to keep Dave Damashek doing sports. He's the man. Dave Damashek is the man. Keep power.
Oh, that's it. Mike said we had a bunch of Jews. We had all of Dave's fans calling. I thought it was going to take a while.
I will get every member of my family on the phone if I have to.
But apparently that was all of his fans.
Yeah, one guy just changed his voice from boring to more boring, calling in. Well, as you can hear from me hitting the ring bell, we were going to play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About. The problem is the phone is on the fritz. We're having difficulty with the phone. I see Brian hammering it out with engineer Ron as we speak through the glass.
Ooh. We're surrounded, Adam.
Ron's becoming animated, which is frightening. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine this is... But what it goes to show is that sometimes in this world you have to deal with incompetence. People,
yes.
People who don't do as well as they might do. You know,
well, I don't
try as hard to get along with mankind as they might.
I don't know whose fault it is. I don't want to start assigning blame just yet. We still need the calls because we're going to play a round of this when we get our phones up and running.
Now
yes,
I ask you, couldn't
Tracy.
It just be a technological issue, Adam? Couldn't that just
yes.
be the problem, not, you know,
oh,
human error?
I'm guessing there is a technological problem we're having with the phones. But
there
the point is we'll have to postpone What Can't Adam Complain About. But don't worry, everybody. We have a little something called the Jerk Report coming up from one Dave Damashek.
Interesting.
Shall we begin?
I think we shall.
Let's do it.
The Jerk Report with Dave Damashek reporting.
Let me say this, by the way. When I say we now have the Jerk Report with one Dave Damashek and you see me slide my chair back, that's code for let's begin.
All right.
All right.
Got someone, a late entry to the Jerk Report. Name is
That's more Lynch's fault than it is yours. But what?
He hits the button that starts it.
Oh, really? Well, then it is your fault.
See, human error this time.
All right.
Oh, I'm on the Jerk Report now, aren't I?
Well, you did point the finger. Yeah, you did drop a dime.
Adam Carolla plus his lackey, Mike Lynch.
Lackeys.
Now we're all set.
That's a lofty goal for Mike. If he plays his cards right in a few years, he'll get up to lackey.
All right. Now, let it begin.
Mm-hmm.
As always, I start with anyone who hears that knows that this is the Jerk Report, but you hear underneath the song Creep is playing.
Yeah.
If you feel obliged to point that out, then you, my friend, are a jerk.
Mm.
There we go.
Way to hit jerk.
Lynch. That was Lynch again. Now you've definitely affirmed your entry onto the Jerk Report. All right. Next one. I was just in the bathroom making water, the public bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there and I see that the floor in front of the urinal is covered in urine.
Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Urine everywhere. I understand. I don't want to pee on my shoes either. But how wide a berth are you going to take, fella? You know, how far back can you stand?
I'd like to also add this to your list. I frequently find long rogue pubes on top of the urinal.
Another good one.
And I think, look, there are no 7-footers in the building. How does the pube make it from your junk, which is lower than the top of... And by the way, it's not like your pubes are looking...
Caged birds. Yes,
yeah, you open it up.
Must
yeah.
be free.
Oh, it's opening the Olympics. Set the pubes free! Bum-ba-da-ba! No!
Sometimes you even see them stuck on the wall, about like 8 feet up on the wall.
What kind of animal is putting the pubes on top of the thing, and now I have to sit there and stare at your rogue pube?
And then
while
the
I'm
opposite
urinating.
Of animal is the man so dainty that he has to stand 12 feet back from the urinal and hit it as though it's some sort of carnival contest. Therefore, I have to now tread in the urine.
Yes.
Well, you know, women do the same thing, peeing on the seat.
Really?
No.
Oh, yeah.
How does that work?
They squat. We squat.
Oh, they don't touch.
We don't, because God forbid we should touch the seat and catch a germ.
Ah.
And then the seat is just sprayed with pee.
They go sumo style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly sumo style.
I think women, by the way, part in the middle of poor Dave's Jerk Report. Tracy Metro, by the way, filling in for whoever's doing the news on this show and doing a fine job.
Thank you.
I think women I think the urine comes out with more gusto than it does with the guys.
Ooh.
Once in a while, you hear a woman sitting on the pot. It's like, holy
like
Christ.
A horse.
What did we do, blow a water main?
No. We're just... Honey, we're just closer to the porcelain.
Every once in a blue moon, you pass the commode and mom or grandma's on it, and you hear the... and it's like, ugh.
It can be bad. Oh, you're right.
If it
you're
comes right. out with ferocity.
Yeah. Well, yeah. To TMI. All people who urinate all over the public facilities, you may have avoided getting a little bit of pee on your shoes, but you didn't avoid being a jerk. Next. This leads nicely into my next one. Underpants on men. Okay, you have the boxer shorts. Ace, I know you've railed against the boxer short hole being too big because genitals tend to fall out.
They open up.
Right.
Horse's head gets out of the barn.
Here's the other one, though. The boxer briefs, which I adorn, or the tidy whities, they have that weird little contraption in them with the little hole, but it's fabric on top of fabric. It's too tight. You couldn't possibly negotiate your wang through there to get it out to make water. Of course, you're just going to pull it down. What is the point of this? Would the manufacturers of underpants, of these underpants, have me treat my wang like Jack Nicholson at the end of The Shining, chasing Danny around trying to get through the maze?
Yeah.
No, sir. I'm not going to do it.
I thought it was the part where he stuck his head through the hole in the door. But yeah, chasing through the hedge maze. Yeah, that's enough already. Stop it. It's antiquated. Maybe there was a place for it many years ago, but we don't need it anymore.
Has used that. Have you ever known anyone to pull their wang through there like that?
I don't even know that it's functional.
Yeah.
Mm,
and by the way,
yes,
I said about Jack Nicholson, my wang does bear some resemblance.
It's very agile.
To Jack?
The modern-day Nicholson.
Wow.
That combined with Schultz in Hogan's Heroes because of the helmet.
Mm. You know? Oh!
I see. And Depression helmet. Yes. Nothing. Nothing!
You know, circumcision, baby.
Yeah.
All right, listen. Boxer brief makers, jerks.
Yeah.
All right, next. Oh, well, you know what I want to do? As I started last week, I want to include... some listeners in the jerks, you know, I can't keep my gaze on every jerk in the world. Thank goodness Andrew Logan wrote in to say, please put a double whammy on a man named Jim Brusca.
Yeah,
he had me skip my sports one day last week. Outrageous, says America. He says, I waited and waited for sports, but then Brusca skipped it and went to a commercial. What a dirtbag. Give his huge areolas a twist for me, he says.
Ooh.
How about this? Just a little in the stopgap, let's just put him on the jerk report. Next. I was watching the Entertainment Tonight last night. Koji Ikaru.
Kojo.
Listen, this guy's infirmed. He's got kidney ailments. He's jaundiced. He's got the giant head. I feel bad for him. I'm not coming down on him. But then I hear him. He starts weighing in on the way celebrities look. Listen to him talk about Ivanka Trump.
And we've saved the most spectacular for last. I don't mean spectacular in the good way. This is something from Mattel, and it's called Retirement Barbie. Okay, because I think even elderly women should have toys to play with. I think what Ivana's saying, Ivana, more taste.
Listen, you have a giant melon head. You are yellow.
Yes.
You're jaundiced. You don't get to talk about how other people look.
Yes, he has Jennifer Aniston's haircut circa 1991, and he's wearing a brooch on an ascot.
Yeah.
And a striped, pinstriped blazer, and he's passing judgment.
Don't open the floodgates, fella.
That's right.
Yeah, look in the mirror and start there, please, jerk.
Wow.
All right, I've got another one, and then I will get to the creep of the week.
Wow. All right.
His name is Aquaman, and he's been getting a lot of run lately, if you've noticed.
And now, is this the creep of the week, or is this the last jerk?
Yeah, no, this is the last jerk.
Mm-hmm.
Here is Aquaman. He's they talk about him on Entourage. They're supposedly making this movie. The WB or whatever is supposedly making a series about him. Listen, I don't know who he's snowing over there with Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. They're doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aquaman, first of all, does nothing outside. He's no good out of the water. He's a weakling.
Yeah.
Robin and Wonder Woman have to fight his fights for him
because
he's so weak. Right. Then he goes into the water, and he's a so-called superhero because he talks to the fish.
Right.
But he dispatches all the poor, dumb fish to do his bidding.
Right. Yeah.
You know, like, oh, my God, look, there's an evil genius making ill with the submarine. Yeah. Hey, octopus, why don't you go do something about that? That's what he says. Hey, look at the bad guys. They're swimming over here. Hey, whales, why don't you stop them?
Right.
And then he gets out of the water. Everybody celebrates Aquaman. What a guy. Yeah. Listen, you might be snowing the poor, dumb fish, having them do your bidding. Some friend you are. You're not snowing me. Aquaman, I call you a jerk.
Yeah.
And finally.
Yeah, he should get off his fat Speedo and do something.
Yeah.
I agree.
He's poor fish.
Yeah.
Dispatched to do Aquaman, playing his mind games with him.
And by the way, how do those pitches ever get off the ground? You know what I mean? At some point, some guy from Marvel Comics had to come into a room with his boss in it and say, hey, I have a great idea. He's a guy, wears a Speedo, he talks to whales. Okay, Bernie, I'm going to have to let you go. If, in fact, you're serious about this. Remember, he's called Aquaman. Okay, now I'm going to have you escorted out of the building.
And plus,
the
Aquaman.
The worst goddamn idea I've ever heard.
Not to mention, Aquaman. I don't know if he came up with it or Aquaman, if his mom sewed that scaly orange shirt for him, but he's got the worst superhero outfit, too.
Yeah.
Pretty boy blonde hair.
Yeah, it looks like he has shingles.
Beat it, you jerk. Now, for the creep of the week.
Yeah. Aquaman's mom.
For the 11th straight week, barely nudging out Aquaman's mom.
Eunice.
And Osama Benny name. Laden.
Okay.
Yeah.
For the 11th straight week, it's Barry Bonds. Listen, I've had it with all this analysis of like, hey, why isn't Major League Baseball going to celebrate Barry Bonds breaking Babe Ruth? Is he going to beat Hank Aaron and this and that? Mm-hmm. Listen, it has nothing to do with race, Barry, even though you keep saying that's what it's about. It's a race issue, everything else. Hank Aaron is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
He's the all-time leader. It has nothing to do with race. Hank was black last time I looked. Right. It has to do with the fact that you are a grade-A jerk and have been for the last 20 years.
Yes, and now you're reaping what you sow. And I was thinking to myself, thank God I tune out for the Jerk Report, because it's always a surprise to me when Barry Bonds makes Creep of the Week every year.
That's right.
Or every report.
Keep pushing your luck, though, Carolla. You're going to make a run at him for next week.
All right.
That's that.
Very nice.
Well, there's the Jerk Report from Dave Damashek. Very animated. All right, now we have the phones back up and running.
Wonderful.
We need to take a break, and we'll be back to play a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About? What can Adam complain about? As it turns out, I can complain about anything.
Koala bears.
They're standoffish. It's like they're hot chicks, but they're covered with fur. And they're on Quaaludes.
Masturbation.
Aha.
Uh-oh. 3 seconds.
I don't like to watch other guys do it, I'll tell you that right now.
I bet you can't complain about Helen Keller.
Horrible leg. Totally unresponsive. I did a slow strip tease at the foot of the bed. Nothing. I didn't even go any further than that. That's enough. Wow. Not bad. That's the bell.
Let it begin. The world champion complainer, Adam Carolla, ready to roll.
Kvetch artist.
Thank you. Yes.
I try.
Tracy Metro in here doing the news and doing a fine job, by the way, for us. Again, started off 50-50.
Now?
Part of you was crazy. The other part of you was confident. Now more confident than crazy.
Well, she has all the signs, as we discussed. She's got the little curl, the tight blonde curls. She's got the glasses that are funky.
Right.
She's a little lady.
Yeah, and she gave me that eager to please, crazy hard handshake. Once in a while, a chick does it to you. When a guy does it, you think, wow, this guy works out. When a chick does it, you think, crazy in the sack.
Makes her own jewelry, and it's huge. It's these huge.
That is a sign of crazy, yes, when you can use your ring as a shield.
As a weapon.
Well, it looks more like Captain America's shield to me.
Like Wonder Woman, like. It could deflect anything coming at me.
If the bullets start flying, I'm getting behind you. Chivalry's dead.
Good.
All right. Let's begin. What can't Adam complain about?
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Start with Pat. Pat, topic, please.
How can you complain about the Adam Carolla show?
I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, and I have to stare at Bruska's stink eye for 5 hours. What else do you need to know?
That was an easy one.
Yes.
Good warm-up.
Dante.
Birth control pills.
Birth control pills. Well, they give women bad skin, and then they blame you. The women put on a little weight, they put on a little water weight, they get a zit, and then they blame you because they have to, it's you who are doing the humping of them, and it turns them into lunatics. They're already nuts. They already started nuts. They came onto the planet as nuts. This is like a pill that makes them insane and gives them bad skin. Who's next? Sergio? Jeff?
Yeah, Jeff.
Jeff, what's your topic?
I don't think you can complain about Old Glory, the flag of these 55 United States.
Yes, I can.
Oh, you bastard.
I'll tell you why I can. I have one. They don't hold up very well. They're not durable. You think if you made a flag, and there should be no cheap flags, by the way. They should all be $100 or more. They make pretty cheap flags. You put them on top of your house. You don't take them. Oh, what about all the ceremony that takes place? You ever read the thing that comes on the flag box? Oh, every day you and the Marine color guard have to blow a goddamn bugle and take the thing down and fold it into the shape of a trapezoid and bring it back in while a guy plays taps on a snare drum. Otherwise, you're a communist. You know, it's all... Really, after this thing, it has to be lit. If you leave it up at night, then you got to go the half flag thing when the dog dies. Too big a pain in the ass, even for this patriot. Sergio?
Adam, your very favorite cut of beef, cooked just the way you like it.
Beautiful. You're saying a nice steak.
Nice.
Here's the problem with the nice steak. Whenever you go to a steak joint, you always think to yourself, which one should I go for? Mm. Should I go for the T-bone? Should I go for the porterhouse? Should I go for the New York? And ultimately decide. I'll go with the porterhouse. Do it Cajun style. Then you have a bite. And then there's always that point where you lean across the table. Dave, you got the T-bone. Can I have a shot of that? A little taste?
No,
trade
it's
bite?
Delicious.
Let's take a bite. Let me try.
No. You made your choice.
Let me just try a little taste of that. Oh, my God. That is good. Jesus Christ. I got a $45 cut of beef here. It tastes like ass now. I'm miserable. I should have gone with the T-bone. I'm such an idiot. God, this sucks. I want to kill myself. Who's next? Gerardo, don't taste the other guy's meal. Because here's the deal. When you taste the other guy's meal, there's two choices. A, it sucks, in which case you just took a bite in the ass. B, it's 10 times better than yours, and now you're miserable. Especially, it was always between yours and the other guys,
too. But if you're like me, you always feel compelled to even flatter the guy, even when you don't like his steak better. Mm. No, you did okay.
Gerardo.
All right, here we go.
Topic,
Hulk,
please.
Hulk Hogan.
Calls himself the Hulkster. He's bright orange. He's bald and has long hair simultaneously. Most guys can't do that. Not since Nick Knack from the Rocky Horror Picture Show can a guy be totally bald and have long flowing locks. You know what that is, to be bald and have hair down to your ass? He's bright orange. He loves his family. I don't like these guys. Oh, he's an animal in the ring. But at home, he's... beats the crap out of his family. That's what I want. I want a story about a guy, in the ring, he's an animal, but out of the ring, beats the crap out of his old lady.
And he beat up Andre the Giant, who is now dead.
That's right. That's right. He body slammed a corpse. Dan.
Adam.
Yeah. How say you?
An all-inclusive gift certificate to your favorite restaurant, and I can clarify that if you want.
Go ahead.
Okay. You can go any day that you want. You can have as much as you want. You can take whoever you want. You can have unlimited quantities to take home if you like.
Listen, Willy Wonka, what are you talking about? There's no such thing. That's the problem. The gift certificates, you get them for $50 or $100. First off, it's always a little disappointing. Wow. Dad, I lease him a Lexus, and he thinks I'm only worth $30 at the Gap. J.O. You get angry. And then you go in, and you have to hit the exact amount. If you go under, you get no change. You just get the gift certificate, and they don't mark the denomination. It floats around in your wallet. It's worth $3.28. You don't know if it's worth $1 billion or worth zero, but you do that thing. And then you have to pay cash when you inevitably go over the amount. So you get the $30 thing at the Gap, you go buy a couple pair of khakis, it comes to $41.95, and you got to shell over $11 out of your own pocket, then you're angry at the person. Or it expires. I don't know how that works. That's right. Forces you going, or you don't even use them. They gather up. You get go buy one.
And you can't take a date with one. You ever break that out on a date? Forget it.
Yes, yes.
It's embarrassing.
Thank you, Senior Cheapo. Next. Yes, I would rather perform oral on a busboy than give it to you now that I've seen that gift certificate at the restaurant. Who's next? Last one. Tony.
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
How you doing, Miss Metro?
Oh, I'm good.
Adam, you cannot complain about having a good buzz.
Yeah, you know why I can complain about it? Because it makes the non-buzz part of life pale in comparison. It's one of those things. It's like climbing into a hot jacuzzi and then going into a cold thing of water. It stings a little bit when you sober up, and then you got to go through your day without the buzz. Yes, I love that beautiful, nice red wine buzz I capture every night, but the next morning, you pay for it. 4:30 in the morning, little hungover, mouth tastes like fried ass. So the downside of the buzz is the part I don't like. The buzz part of the buzz, fine. If I could just get buzzed and then die while I was buzzed, it would be a perfect life for me. But I have to sober up and face the dawn. And thank you. And that's why they call it
that
What can't
and Adam complain about?
It needs to be reiterated that you were not aware of any of these topics until they were thrown to you telephone. Impressive job.
You are masterful.
Thank you.
Really.
I can't
best complain about there is.
Can't complain about your praise. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take ourselves a little break. Coming up, still on the show, by the way, besides the news and famous sports, actor Guy Pearce.
This Academy Award nominee, perhaps the first one ever to enter these four walls.
And the last. He will be in here coming up. Also, beautiful wife's going to call in, talking baby names. All that after this. Phone lines lit up when I talked about naming my kids.
One is Tuffy.
Tuffy Corolla.
Yeah, other one is Bodie.
Bodie, the blowhard skier who won, by the way, nothing.
Vegas Corolla.
Yeah, pretentious.
Name the girl after the mother, Lynette. Mm-hmm. Name the boy after the father, hot black pool guy.
Yeah, I think that was Lisa Lampanelli. Sweetie?
Hi, Pumpkin.
Good to talk to you.
Lovely Lynette.
Hi, Damashek.
Hello, Lynette. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. I love your jerk report.
Oh, thank you.
I
feel bad that I have to put your husband on it. But
that's all
he mouthed off one too many times. That's it.
All right.
No problem beating me up physically or verbally. It's great. Must be great for you, Lynette, our good cop, bad cop relationship.
Aww,
you get
yeah.
to be the nice one all the time. Everyone agrees you're so sweet and you're so good, and I get to play the heavy all the time.
Hey, Lynette, has Adam been nice to you as the due date approaches? As he says, he's been talking here a lot about that you snore a lot and this and that.
I know. He's been pretty good, actually. You know, he cooked me dinner the other night. Cooked me a nice big Italian meal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, was it good?
Yeah, it was good.
To be fair, I cooked me too much dinner.
He cooked it from stuff and he gave me...
I cooked me dinner and I put in too many sausages. So I threw one to Molly and then I gave the next one to Lynette.
Molly the dog.
Yeah, I said if there's any left, once Molly's tapped out and had her fill, there'll be some for my beautiful wife.
And now, Lynette, I'm sure a lot of people know, you two are going to have twins, or actually probably you are going to do most of the work, but you're going to have... one boy and one girl. Everybody's been calling in with baby names.
Right.
Have you heard any that you like so far from people? We've got Vegas, Sargento, Dashiell, Vroom.
I like the Vroom, and I like the Octavia.
Octavia. Yeah.
David Alan Greer.
David Alan Greer.
Dag also offered up Differentialine.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds good when he's calling him from the front porch.
Yeah, his names were basically, it's like you took a car and a black guy and you combine them. Those are the names he's coming up with.
Mm-hmm.
I offered up for the boy Flapjack and for the girl Pancake.
Yeah.
Cake Corolla. That's nice.
Yeah, it'd be cute if they were like, you know, little dolls or something. But
I'm sure they'll be
being.
Little dolls.
Well, here's what I got. I have a little combo name also because I thought it'd be nice to have, you know, both of your names, you know, Lynette and Adam.
Tracy Metro, by the way, someone who has a cool name. So we should listen
that
up.
Yeah, that's cool. Hi, Tracy.
Thanks, Hyland. Nice to meet you. Okay,
nice
so meet. Here's what I think the guy's name could be. It could be Lynade.
Lynade.
Yeah. Lynade. Okay. Now the girl's name could be Adeline. Very sweet. You know. Adam.
Lynade sounds like a venereal disease that kills you. Or you spread it on a
piece of toast.
Yeah, a piece of toast or a I was trying to think of the word scrumpet.
Ooh,
crumpet. Yeah, crumbs. I combined something my own self. Yeah.
I was just putting them out there.
I don't like those. Those are no good, I'm afraid.
Dang,
they're not going to cut
Am
it. They're
the
not going to cut it. No, no, no. Listen, you took your shot.
I did.
You missed. So be it.
It's all right.
Now. Oh, Lynch. Lynch has a good one.
Yeah, actually. Doctor and Senator. You set them up for life. Dr. Carolla, Senator Carolla.
Yeah.
They're, no matter what they do in their life, they can always walk around. Oh,
Lynch, hey,
how
like
you doing,
them.
Dr. Carolla?
Yeah, but it's going to be tough when little Senator is working behind the counter at the AMPM. And there's some guy going, I said the Marlboro. No, not the Marlboro Menthol, Marlboro Light. It's underneath. Underneath. Thanks. Thanks, Senator. Thank you.
Right, have fun with your $4 an hour. They always have that dignity of at least getting the title for the rest of their life, even though they are working
at the AMPM. Point. Yeah.
I like that, Senator Carolla.
Lynette, by the way, we were talking yesterday. Adam gave his answer. What if your son turns out to be gay? How do you feel about that?
I would be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, everyone says that.
No, I would be fine. As long as he's a good boy and he's a good person and he works hard, I'd be fine.
See, that's nice.
And a good husband.
Yeah, but everyone knows gays don't work hard. That's why they need the dual income. They can't support themselves. All those anal poppers and porn. Hey, Lynette, you can shed a little light on this. We had a funny story. I have no middle name.
Right.
And as you know, maybe we'll go middle names. Middle names, you know what you do with the middle name is you have fun. The compulsory part of the competition is over. Now it's time to go for the triple axel.
Mm-hmm.
That's the freestyle version of the naming. Middle name, you go Hollywood or Vegas or something fun. So we're sitting down at dinner with my mom. And I say, you know, I have no middle name. What's the story behind that? Is it a tradition with the Corollas or something? And she says, no.
Just didn't come up with one.
Just didn't come up.
Well, I just went through a few hours of labor. I was exhausted. I could only come up with the one name.
I said,
that's awful.
Is it really? There's no story behind no middle name? Just never thought about it. Wow.
Emblematic of the relationship.
It's like she couldn't find a reason why she didn't have cable.
Oh, please, how dare you bash my mother. That is nothing short of an attack.
Well, I've been asking you what about middle names and stuff.
I'm telling you, Hollywood.
Lynette, you're all right with one of the callers, one of our listeners, naming one of the two children?
If they come up with a good name.
Well, Adam's already signed off on it, so.
Oh, really? Well, the woman is the one that signs the birth certificate at the hospital, so.
Oh, really?
She really isn't the one that signs up.
Oh, I think I just hung up on my wife.
You caught her.
Well, there you go. You may sign the birth certificate, but I wear the pants. Because with the depression of one finger, I can get rid of you. I was trying to punch up Jared, who has a name idea. I'll try that now. Jared?
Yes, sir.
What do you got in the name department?
I'm sure you're familiar with the front end of a fine automobile. How about Caster and Camber?
He's talking suspension.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Which is the girl there?
That would be the Camber Corolla. I think that rolls off nicely.
Caster, though?
Camby. Cammy.
Yeah, too political. Yeah, Caster.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that. Yes?
Yeah. If you think about it, they'll always be in tow.
Okay. I love your inane and obscure names that pertain to wheel alignment, but I think I'm the only person in North America who knows what the F you're talking about.
Yeah.
When you go in and get your car aligned, they deal with the camber. That's how much your wheels lean in and lean out, toe in and toe out. It has to do with the front end alignment. You have to work at a Midas in order to laugh, and even then you wouldn't think it was funny. Tony?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Look, I got a set of twins.
Mm-hmm.
I had a hard time trying to pick a name for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just named my son after me and my daughter after her mom, but I took off one of the letters. But check this out for you, because you Adam Carolla.
Thank you, Tony.
King Adam Carolla and Queen Lynette Carolla.
King and queen, middle name, first name slides over to middle name. I got to tell you, don't take any offense to this, but you're black, right?
Of course.
You guys can get away with that crap.
Yeah, there's
two things you guys can do. Here's the beauty. You always talk about what a bad deal it is being black in this country. Well, listen to this. You can name your kid whatever the F you want. No one ever says anything. And you can wear whatever hats you want.
Yeah.
You walk around with a top hat on. No one would say anything to you.
And
I can't wear...
Sometimes I wear a top hat just to go to the store to get some cigarettes.
We got a choice. Look, I know the point is as white guys, we get baseball caps or yarmulkes, and as the kids, you know, if you name your kid anything other than Steve or Dave, you're a retard.
Yeah, what about Apple and
Moses.
Diametric. And
yeah, but all we do is make fun of them.
You guys are doing the same thing we're doing. So take a shot, baby. Take a shot.
But here's what I'm saying, Tony.
Here's America in the mouth, Adam.
Here's what I'm saying. Gwyneth Paltrow names her kid Apple, and all people do is make fun of it for the next 6 months, right?
Uh-huh.
Meanwhile, Bobby Brown names his first 14 kids Bobby and the first girl Bobalina, and no one says a goddamn word about it.
Because we're scared.
We're scared. That's right. I'm just saying, name your kid whatever you want.
Santonio.
Santonio, and go ahead and put that Shriner's hat on and enjoy.
Black guys also get to wear purple suits. That looks good on a black guy.
That.
You look ridiculous as a white guy.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, there's so much talk about racism. No one talks about the hats.
Plexico.
No one has the guts to talk about the hats.
The quell.
Lynette?
Yeah, thanks.
Well, there you go. We're going with Plexico and Santana.
Perfect.
All right, baby doll. We got to take a break. I'm sorry for hanging up on you.
How much longer, Lynette, by the way?
Not too much longer. 4 weeks now. About a month away.
Could come any day.
Any day now.
Should Adam pick you something up? A nice bite to eat or something on the way home?
Sure. I'll take a sandwich.
Yeah. I'm gonna drink a 40 in the park and see a matinee, so I won't be back until about 6. All right.
That's what you do after the show.
Every show, yeah. All right, baby doll.
Okay, Pumpkin.
God love you.
Love you, Mike.
And you know the other thing too is she's 4 or 5 weeks away, but I checked her belly yesterday and it was snare drum tight. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's not a big woman. There's two twins in her, and basically if she was a turkey, that little red thermometer thing would have popped last Wednesday. So I don't know if she's going to make it.
So, yeah, it generally, isn't that true with twins, that they come a little earlier than the due date?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's always good to be premature because you have an excuse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Your kid's a little slow. Well, I was premature. That's all.
So we didn't solve anything as far as the names go.
No. But every bit gets us closer. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back with the news and sports. Also, nominated actor. That's right. What's that? Oscar.
Academy Award.
Academy Award nominated actor Guy Pearce coming in. All that after the news and sports.
May 10th at the Hollywood Improv. Christian, a Jew, and the Adam Carolla crew. Get tickets now at HollywoodImprov.com. Now, from earlier this morning, our resident 13-year-old comedian, Christian.
There are so many odd jobs in the world, and I'm surprised that people don't mind to work there. Mm-hmm. You'd have to be some kind of a messed up child to answer, what do you want to be when you grow up, with a mortician?
Mm-hmm.
Your imagination, what would the answer be?
Mm.
Well, I've always had a fascination with roadkill and makeup. At what point in your life do you realize that you want to paint dead people?
That is a young Christian. Jeff Ross was on hold for the last 45 minutes, and he just dropped off. He was mentoring Christian. He's PO'd because he's been up all night. He's an artist, Jeff Ross. He's a comedian. He's out there hitting the planks every night, and then the booze and the weed after that.
You think at some point he's starting to resent Christian getting a free ride?
Mm-hmm. We'll find out. Jeff Ross?
You guys are unbelievable.
King of the roast.
Oh, that's good. Talk to Lynette about baby names. That's real good. Take me for granted, why don't you?
I'm sorry, Jeff. That's Brusca's call.
I don't mind. What I mind is calling me 45 minutes early. I could be sleeping. Just call me when you need me.
I know.
I'm plugging your dumb show. What do I care?
That's right. HollywoodImprov.com is where you go for tickets to see a delighted Jeff Ross on stage.
Oh, yeah. Why bother?
Not only Jeff Ross, but David Allen Greer.
Oh, whoop-de-doo.
Hey, Jeff, what should Adam and Lynette name the babies?
Do not disturb.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff. Did you stay up? What time did you go to bed last night?
I didn't go to bed. And then to stay up an extra 2 hours. Usually we do this at 6:30. I could deal with it. Now they've been calling me 45 minutes early. Where am I going?
I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry, Your Highness.
It's like, just call me when you need me. I'm there for you, buddy.
I know. And I know this
I gotta
is...
come down.
This is the Manischewitz and the sleep deprivation talking. This isn't Jeff Ross.
Bad enough. I hosted the Sci-Fi Awards all night, and I went out partying with the with the sci-fi fanatics.
Well, when does that air? We can at least give it a plug.
It doesn't air.
No, sorry. Well, if you
sci-fi groupies, though, at least.
Yeah, good to hang out with a bunch of guys dressed like Wobbies or whatever the hell those things are. Wookies, whatever you nerds are into.
Star Trek fans are called Trekkies.
Oh, sorry. All right,
Star Wars fans are called Virgins.
See, that's funny. Now, did you hear Christian? What did you think of his act this morning?
What are you talking about?
All right, I'm sorry. I thought we were going to critique it. We're going to play it for you? All right, sorry. Here you go, Jeff Ross.
He posted some jokes on my MySpace, I noticed this morning.
Mm-hmm. So, were they good? Do you like the direction
he's
headed?
They're actually better than his usual stuff. It looks like he worked hard on it.
All right. Well, we just heard Christian do his act.
It's the stuff about
not?
The mortician, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
No. It was
it's different material.
It was about being an honorable mention.
Ah, yes, I think we heard that last
week. Another one about Jesus being born now.
Well, the point is you're tired, and I don't want to relive Christian's act for the third time in my day.
Where is he?
He's back in Sacramento or school or wherever he goes, Fresno. He's coming out here next Wednesday. He's going to do stand-up for the first time. You're going to do stand-up for the 13,000th time, and David Alan Greer is going to do stand-up as well. I'll be there. Sheck will be there. The whole crew will be there. HollywoodImprov.com is where you go for tickets.
All-star lineup with the Hollywood Improv.
Are you going to make everybody wait outside for 40 minutes before you let them in? While you talk about baby names to an empty room?
Sorry, Jeff. You know, I have great respect for you and the work you do, even though it's unclear what that is. All right, Jeff Ross, everybody. Thank you. That's it. Go to bed.
What about the kid?
He'll do all right. He'll land on his feet.
Oy vey.
Thanks, buddy. Take a nap. Eat one of those pot brownies
Ross,
and go to bed.
What do you have to say about him? This is a week before. How do you counsel this Christian as he approaches?
I was gonna pat him on the back for posting the jokes on the web and like doing all the press. Like this is the home stretch. You know, he's self promoting, which to me is the key to success.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're the master of it. You come on my morning radio show and yell at me and then go back to bed. The master of promotion.
I never went to bed.
Okay. Well, go to bed. Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Ross, everyone, at the Hollywood Improv with us a week from today,
should
Wednesday.
Be a good show.
HollywoodImprov.com. Yes, it should. And again, David Alan Greer, very funny, funny on the show. Maybe even a funnier stand-up, if you can imagine that. Christian, I'll be there. See what Damashek looks like in person. All right. Now it is time for the news. Tracy Metro is doing it this morning.
Yes, I am. With gasoline prices at $3 a gallon, everyone is feeling it at the pump. So the House of Representatives is preparing to take a vote that would impose criminal and civil penalties to energy companies who are caught price gouging.
Yeah, look, here's how it works, everybody. They have their multi-billion dollar conglomerations. They pay for guys' campaigns. Mm-hmm. They then owe them favors once they get into power.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, somebody raises their hand and says, maybe we should raise the minimum gas mileage allowance for American-made automobiles from 21 miles a gallon to 25, and Congress votes it down, and we move on because they have very strong lobbyists. That's the way it goes. And until gas makes it to $7 a gallon, no one's going to be interested, and we want to drive our Denalis.
Yeah, but, you know, isn't $3.50 enough, don't you think?
Well, we can get used to anything. It's like the frog in the proverbial pot of water. Turn the flame up slowly. It never jumps out, even when it's boiling, which I'm not sure is true. I'm going to try that when I get home. Sounds cruel, but I want to know. Yes, it's never. Look, here's the thing. 30 years ago, we went through this.
Yeah.
Not 15 years ago, not 20 years ago. 30 years ago. Gas is going to run out. The prices are going through. We're being held at bay for ransom by the OPEC nations. We're giving money to these parts of the world that sponsor terrorism. We don't do a goddamn thing about it. You don't think that we could solve this problem if we wanted to?
Yeah, we could.
course we could do alternative fuels. Of course we could do higher mileage vehicles. We're not interested.
Hybrids.
Yeah, this is the man.
Listen,
holding us down.
I'm not well enough informed to take the other side of that, but I will say that from what I gather, it's the oil lobby. Yes,
yes, yes. The oil lobby contributes tons of money to guys like Bush. They get in and then they make sure to veto anything that comes across their desk that seems like it would hurt the people that paid for their very expensive campaigns. And it works that way with everything. The NRA works. That's why they have lobbyists. People have interests. And by the way, I don't blame them. They figured out how the system works, and they figured out a way to beat it.
How to work it.
Imagine if you were a company, and you just sunk $50 billion into some offshore oil derrick that was in the Atlantic. Could you imagine wanting to protect that interest? Could you imagine how much money you'd want to spend to protect that interest? That's how it works.
Exactly.
All right. Now, we can do something about it. All we have to do is go out and get a bunch of hybrids and go out and get a bunch of high-mileage vehicles, but we want to drive Humvees into alleys, and there we don't do anything about it.
Exactly. Or you could do the veggie fuel.
That's right.
That's right. All right. Well, last night on Idol, Paris Bennett, she's the 17-year-old who's one of the five finalists, she sang Mary J. Blige's song, Be Without You, which actually has the S word in the lyrics, which, of course, caused the producers to have to dump her out during the song. Here, have a listen.
They see that we did that. It's so true. We've been through it. We got real
There it is.
Been too strong for too long.
She sounded good.
Must be nice for all the 9-year-olds to hear in the audience. I was watching the end of Idol, watching Paula Abdul and getting livid. I realize, I don't know what she's pulling down, what her new contract is, but it struck me that she's making $5-7 million a year. And we say a year, but it's like athletes and school teachers. They don't work the year.
Yeah.
If your contract for American Idol says you get paid $6 million a year, you're working 4 months out of the year. Imagine that. People sort of skate over that. Oh, he's a Major League Baseball player, just signed a $20 million a year. A year? But he's only working half the year. Imagine you getting every other week off and getting your pay.
Now, a baseballer, they have to work kind of hard. Come on, Paula just sits at that table and claps like an ape.
Randy.
You know?
Randy did this thing at the end where, Ryan did this thing at the end. He's like, well, what do you guys think? And Paula was like, whoa, I'll tell you what, it's interesting. Interesting night. And that's
so
all
vague.
She said.
You're
she
like,
said she literally said 4.5 words, and they weren't even interesting or funny. She just like, well, there you go.
Yeah. I every week try to watch it for about. I can make it about 4 or 5 minutes every week because I know you're going to talk about it, and so I try to stay. But I get every time I tune in, I get it. It's karaoke. Paula has nothing to say. The foreign guy is a jerk, and Randy Jackson has his stupid dog pound. All of it is lame. How say you, Fish Tank?
Thank you. Sorry, Tracy.
That's cool. All right, now you guys are going to be very psyched about this one. Women have become hornier than men.
Oh, really?
Kind of provocative.
Nice.
Well, according to... Oh, yeah, baby. Well, according to a survey
Hold on.
Last
Prove
minute...
Prove it, dude.
Dude. You know, how about this right after the show?
Okay, dude.
So according to a survey on lastminute.com, men spend 150 minutes out of every 24 hours thinking about sex, while women spend 180 minutes thinking about it.
Yes. You can't quantify that. And by the way, that's 180 minutes of you guys fantasizing about your gardener. That's 150 of us physically tugging ourselves. Please, you're thinking about sex isn't, we actually do sex on ourselves. You guys think about it.
So we're just the thinkers.
Yes, you guys have
and you're
nothing.
The doers.
Yes, you talk to women. You're talking to women. Oh, I had a sexy dream. Oh, what happened? Would you get teamed by 8 felons?
No.
We just had a nice day.
Right.
Well, who was the dude? He didn't have a face. Oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
I have a sexy dream. Believe me, the maid knows it.
No, my
She's got to mop up. Yes. It's, there's evidence of my sexy dream, yes.
My sexy dream is that I've changed outfits into something really fabulous by Chanel.
Yeah, something made you feel very feminine in life. Please. You guys, look, you may think about sex, but you don't think about sex the way we think about sex. We
Touché.
Actually, yes, we, well, I'll show you how to think about sex.
Oh, please, later.
I'll show you thinking about sex.
Well, my
Hold
friend.
Hold still while I think about sex on you. Thank you.
That's the Metro Minute.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Guess what? Bruska just held up a note to say, make the sport short, and then say, and then please underline.
I was polite.
He's going to tack on 10 minutes for that, Bruska.
All right. I will proceed because I am a pro. The battle for L.A. is going to have to wait. A Lakers win last night down in Phoenix would have clinched the first round series and given us a Clippers-Kobe second round matchup. What a thing that would be. All played out in the Staples Center. It didn't work out, at least last night. Suns took it 114-97, but the two teams do it again tomorrow night. Suns might be playing out without Rajah Bell, who tackled Kobe Bryant viciously. He's going to be suspended, it looks like. And I also brought this up. I want an answer to it. The disparity in ticket prices. Four of the games will be Clippers home games, technically. The other three Lakers tickets. I want to know how much it's going to cost to go to a Clippers game versus the Lakers home games. I got to say, it's got to be at least $100 difference. The Lakers tickets, more desirable, yes?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, I think if you're a Lakers season ticket holder, that would cost you more than
right,
the Clippers.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's the same building, though, same playoff games.
But you have to charge the same for all the tickets now that they're playing in the same place, though, do you not?
I'm guessing no. That's what I'm saying. Right. I think it's going to be interesting to see the disparity. Sacramento, meantime, gave the Spurs a fight down in San Antonio. They lost, though. The defending champs, the Spurs, now lead the series 3-2. Sacramento gets another shot on Friday. And speaking of Sacramento, the king of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger, emerged from his ivory tower yesterday to meet with NFL Commissioner Paul Tagliabue. Here's how it went.
Dylan! You son of a bitch. What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils?
Is he drunk? Calls him Dylan?
Yeah. His name's Paul.
But then he went on. He made an impassioned plea. He wants not one, but two NFL teams here in the L.A. area.
Yeah, why does he just go for Baker's dozen?
We
haven't had one in 20 years.
Well, like I said, I love the tact. See, if you assume that one is a given, one's a given. Now I want two. Now it makes it that, of course, we have to at least give them one. You know,
sure.
I like the argument, and he made a powerful plea.
Come on! Do it now!
How can the NFL say no to that?
No.
It's just adorable. And by the way, we also were talking, you know, Predators and Terminators may be the two front runners in names for these football teams should they happen. But I was thinking about other characters he's played. They could be the L.A. Mr. Freezes, the Anaheim Barbarians, the L.A. Right. Destroyers, the Anaheim Quaids. Total Recall.
The Kindergarten Cops.
Yes.
Ooh. It's a little bumpy.
The L.A. Erasers.
Yeah, the Eraser.
That's a good name, actually. The Erasers.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
That's like my nickname when we play basketball, pick up basketball. I'm the patch, the nicotine patch. I get all over you. I get on you, and you can't lose me, and I eventually make you sick.
Right. Yeah. Slow Jew gave way to nicotine patch. I remember that. I remember when you launched that campaign.
So.
That's right.
All right. Now, listen, I could give some baseball scores, but I want to be quick. We've got nominee Guy Pearce, nominated for many movie awards.
Yes, none of which are the Oscars. But
I would like to quickly say the Jerk Report was last hour, and ever since then I've been getting emails from one Jimmy Kimmel saying that I stole his Aquaman bit, and the last one he's threatening to come in here and beat me up and stuff for stealing his bit.
Yes.
And I've been talking about the Aquaman thing for a long time. Then he emailed me his final salvo. I said the exact thing about Aquaman, and then in parentheses, but funnier on the show. Guess what? It's not too late. It's the one final entry into this week's Jerk Report. Jimmy Kimmel, welcome to the club.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That's it.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
The guts to tackle the tough issues. That's Damashek. Whole Aquaman thing. Greg?
Yeah, I'm here.
You have a fun fact about my last name?
Well, when you're talking about flowers in botany, when you refer to all the petals in a group on a single flower as the corolla.
I had heard that once. Yeah.
So when you refer to, there's another
part of the flower underneath the petals that's called the sepals, and you refer to that area as the calyx.
Mm.
So that was my name idea for the girl, was Calyx Corolla.
That's not bad. Sounds like a stripper. I don't think enough people are educated enough to know it's a part of a flower. And by the way, Greg, you must have to turn down chicks left and right with that kind of knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Real hound, huh?
I beat him away with a stick most of the time.
You are gay.
All right, buddy. Thanks for that, though.
Take care.
Appreciate it.
Kimmel wants a call, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wants to talk to him now?
I don't know. He says, call me.
All right. Well, we'll call him up. Bresca, call Kimmel up. Amanda?
That's me.
You sell sex toys?
I most certainly do.
You're here to say that women are hornier than men?
I do believe so. You get to a certain point in your life when you're a woman, and that's all you think about.
Right. That point where we don't want to ask, where we're tired of effing you.
I would say 21 and over. Maybe I have to drive from 16
I'd
to 19.
Say 41 and over. But maybe maybe you're right, because we've talked about it more than once about how dudes are turning into chicks. Aren't chicks turning into dudes? I mean, guys now, they can't fix their own car. They can't fight. They're constantly in the kitchen cooking. Women are showing off their six-pack now. And, you know, half the
playing
women,
on the PGA Tour.
And playing, yeah, out driving
Heaven
the guys on the tour. Wouldn't it make sense that this would just carry over into the bedroom? Soon, we're just going to be fanning ourselves and going, fresh!
And wearing corsets.
Yes. I'm wearing corsets. I'm going to have a pillow that says, not tonight. I'll flip it over. Lynette will get the message. Fresh! And I just fan myself.
It's that time of the month.
Yes. I know, I feel fat.
Fresh!
Wait a minute. Kimmel's on the blower.
Oh, no.
This could get ugly. Well, you gotta be careful. You pop off. Jimmy?
Yeah, the hotline was busy. I tried calling. I'm sure Dave is probably calling other radio shows, stealing jokes from them. I don't know exactly what he was doing.
That's your Aquaman bit, right?
You know that, Adam.
I know. I tried to tell him. He wouldn't listen.
Yeah. Like hell you did. You didn't say boo.
I said aqua boo.
You couldn't hear it because of all the water in your ears, Dave.
That's right.
How dare you go on the air and express yourself in such a disingenuous fashion, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then attack me. By the way, here, if you don't have enough jerks to fill out the jerk of the week, don't do it on Wednesday. Wait till the end of the week, then. Maybe you won't have to steal jokes from other people.
Yeah.
I stole nothing.
Oh, please. Adam, let me just tell you something. Mm. Not only, and you know full well, because I've been ranting and raving about Aquaman, who, by the way, thinks to fish. He doesn't speak to fish. He's like some sort of Al-Qaeda yeah. terrorist who sends these fish to their death.
That's right. Get it right, Dave.
Not only did I do that on K-Rock with Kevin and Bean now, maybe 11 years ago, but besides that, I did that bit on the show while Dave was working there, and Dave wrote the whole thing out for me.
Well, maybe that's where he got the idea. I got to tell you, Jimmy, I was confused because my first thought was, he's ripping off Kimmel.
Yes.
But then I started thinking, but wait a minute, this isn't funny. I remember Jimmy was funny, so then I was confused.
This is such nonsense.
That's what I thought.
Trying to ingratiate yourself to Kimmel.
And God knows I can do anything I can to help, but... Listen, a thief is a thief. If you come into my home and you steal a bag of chips, I'm okay with that if you're starving. I'm all right.
Right.
Clearly you're hungry and you need the food. But don't tell me you didn't steal the chips, because the chips were stolen.
That's right.
Kimmel's got a puss on because he's devoting 23 hours a day. Aside when he's not doing the show, he's concentrating, focusing, practicing for the big 80s music off against Lex Luthor next
Actually,
week
I'm
on this show.
Waiting. I haven't been practicing, but I'm looking forward to it. I am indestructible.
I got to tell you, Jimmy came in here and was a tour de force of 80s music knowledge a couple weeks ago. I mean, he put on a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
There were half notes played, and he would shout out Mike and the Mechanics.
Yeah, it's not really a trivia. It's more of name that tune, but Cousin Sal and I played it when I got back to the office. He wanted to play me, and we actually tied. And you know why we tied?
Because he's a retarded savant?
No, because we both got every single one right.
Yeah, by the way, should you emerge victorious against Lex Luthor, Michael Rosenbaum next week, Sal says, what is this competition going to the outside world? Kimmel can't even win in his own family. Those are the words of Cousin Sal.
I will take on all comers, and I will destroy them. And then I'm sure 10 years from now, you'll do the same thing and pretend it was your idea. How dare you?
I was in Pittsburgh, PA 11 years ago.
All right. We need to take a break. Guy
sitting next to me 2 years ago when we did it on the show.
Guy Pierce, who is coming in L.A. Confidential memento. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you. Thank you, Adam. Thanks for nothing, Dave.
It took a lot of guts. I got to tell you, Jimmy Kimmel, salt of the earth. Salt of the earth. How dare you rip off my buddy Jimmy Kimmel?
I don't understand what you're getting out of this.
I said good day. We're going to take ourselves a break. We'll be back with Guy Pierce after this.
Suppose I gave you till Christmas.
You want me to kill me, brother?
I want you to kill your brother.
Guy Pierce in studio. LA Confidential. Memento. The Time Machine. I love Memento. I love LA Confidential too, but Memento. Cool. Put your headphones on. So
I really have to put my headphones on.
Yes. What are you scared? You're gonna mess up your hair?
I can
such
hear
a
you.
Girl.
That's a good point. Take your headphones off.
Thanks very much.
You know what? I'm gonna take mine off too.
Take your pants off too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Pants are gone. It's all gone. I don't care. You know, the man says we need to wear the headphones. I say we stick it to them by taking them off, or as we call them, cans. The proposition name. You know what? I don't even need this microphone.
Intimate. Yeah. It's unpluggable.
Any people eavesdropping on our conversation? All right, maybe
exactly.
Once.
Adam Carolla unplugged. I like it.
The proposition is coming out in L.A. and New York this Friday. I can't stand it without the headphones. I have to hear the sound of my own nasally drone. Tell us about the movie.
It's always the most difficult question to be asked, I find, to tell someone about a movie.
All right.
It's, you know, it's a rather sort of harrowing story about three brothers who are trying to survive in the wilderness in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
Who are outlaws, essentially. And Ray Winston's character is the local cop who sends one brother out to try and find and kill one of the other brothers.
What year are we in? Are we
We're
in today?
No. 1880s.
1880s?
Yeah.
And you guys are out on the lam and you're in the outback.
Yeah, very much in the isolation of the...
like Paul Hogan's trying to get him.
That's right. Paul Hogan's out there and Hugh Jackman, Russell Crowe.
It says here you're born in England, but you're raised in Australia.
Yeah.
I know this is going to sound like blowing so much smoke up your tuchus, but everyone who goes to Australia, A, comes back and says, you have to go. You know, they don't say that with other places. They go to Europe, they go, yeah, it was great, it was cool. But when they go to Australia and they find out you haven't been to Australia, they force you to go to Australia. They go, oh, you gotta go. And then secondly, never met someone from Australia that was uptight or blowhard. Seems like everyone over there is cool, but I don't know, am I making that up? Do only the cool ones come here, or do you guys act cool so you don't give up your secret?
You have to pass a cool test before they let you on the plane.
Interesting.
You know, the really uptight ones are still stuck there at the airport, banging on the door, trying to.
Oh, really? They won't let them out of the terminal.
They don't want to sort of create a reputation. That,
smart. Know. We have, by the way, a clip of the new movie, The Proposition. Shall we hear just a snippet of that?
Reckless and violent, on a collision course with the establishment, headed for Hell Chop Down Hog. Hating each other, but hating the establishment more. Bunch of women, untamed and shameless, turning on for kicks.
Turning on for kicks, count me in.
Black Angels, grabbing every kick along the way.
Yeah, I'm a new shade of black.
I'll bust you right open.
You ain't busting nobody, Whitey.
Yeah.
Thundering hordes of bikers.
All right, that's enough. You're insulting the guests now.
You're giving too much of the movie away now. I mean,
right.
I thought this was Australia outback turn of the century. I didn't know you guys were going down looking for kicks on motorcycles.
It's bookended in this dream sequences. So, we've got it all in the proposition.
We have a real clip from the movie, by the way, we should hear. No? Oh, we're going to set it up. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, guys,
well,
sorry.
Well, this is in my character's journey sort of up the mountain to try and find his brother. He comes across a various variety of odd characters, and one of them particularly played by John Hurt is a bounty hunter who's out in the wilderness and somebody that I have an intuitive feeling that I shouldn't trust, and this is a little moment between the two of them.
I am something of a fortune hunter.
And what fortune do you hunt out here, Mr. Lamb?
That would be my question to you, Mr. Murphy.
A knife is pulled.
Do you get stabbed?
No.
Are you sure?
Quite.
All right. It's
something else happens to me in the movie later on, but
really?
I shouldn't give that away.
Really? Give us a hint.
Well, it involves a spear.
Okay. Flesh is broken?
It's a little punctured.
Okay. In L.A. and New York, starting this Friday, the proposition, we're going to take a quick break. Guy Pearce is going to stick with us, and we'll be right back after this.
This is Quagmire. You're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Guy Pearce in studio. L.A. Confidential. Memento. Many other great films. The Proposition, his newest film in L.A. and Los Angeles this Friday. And then if it does well, it'll get a wider release.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a pretty specific film, but I have to say it's by far the best film I've ever been in. So
really?
So yeah.
Better in L.A. Confidential, better in Memento.
Well, you know, it's a matter of taste, but I think there's definitely...
it's your favorite one of all those.
Yeah.
Speaking of taste, Guy explained that he's eaten kangaroo during the commercial break.
Yeah, I like to gnaw down on a bit of kangaroo whenever I can.
No problem. So.
I've tried it once or twice. I really haven't had it that often.
I set you up, sorry.
Yeah, anything that has a pouch in it, I don't eat. That's my thing. What else is a pouch?
Well,
possum.
Exactly. Ooh. Koala. Yeah.
Bruska's got a pooch.
Yeah.
Cats,
marsupials.
Dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. What? Real quick, what does it taste like? What is kangaroo taste
like?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of beefy. You know, it's sort of a pretty strong meat, but it's not something that I would try to eat too often, I don't think.
Yeah. But when you're trapped out in the desert fighting for your life.
That's right. I actually eat a bit of kangaroo in the film. So anyone who wants to see a bit of kangaroo being eaten.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. The Proposition out in L.A., out in New York this Friday. And if we go out and see it, it'll come to a town near you. Guy Pearce, thank you very much. I'm sorry. We're plumb out of time.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your 13-hour plane flight back home tonight. Bring some booze for the plane or bring some pills or something. Who's coming in tomorrow? David Alan Greer is coming in. Def Rec Guy is going to be in. I want to thank Pat O'Brien, Dom Herrera. Guy Pearce, of course, and Tracy Metro. Nice job on the traffic, my dear.
Thank you. Had a great time.
Glad to have you. Until next time, this is Adam saying mahalo.